drives another friend cast triple balling.
I have triple three balls.
Yeah.
You lucked out.
I'm like 75% of a Krogan over here.
Well, that's not why we're calling it that.
Krogan, Schmogan,
hey, Liam.
Hogan.
What do you think is called a triple baller?
Well, there's a game on the Vita this week where...
Liam's dead, you guys.
Damn, you almost got me. I was fooled. No, Liam can't make it. He has to attend a graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Prior engagements kind of thing came up. Can't come here.
Yep.
All right, continuing on. Hey.
So there is a game.
We have to do a podcast this week, even without Liam. We have to do a podcast every week.
I'll be playing the part of Liam at random intervals.
I will argue with myself about whether or not PSO2 will ever come out.
That's pretty good.
It won't. No, it might, though. Maybe, I guess.
It's fine.
I don't really feel all that strongly about it, but I will say that it will because Sega's great.
Yeah, Sega's great.
Well, I wish we had known earlier because we could have prepared a Liam,
I would have prepared
Liam week.
So much shitty ass, like petty, snarky, bitchy things to do. But unfortunately, that's all you get.
It's okay. There'll be other
times. And you get away with them because he's not going to listen to this.
No. So. What kind of asshole listens to their own podcast? Not for work reasons.
Yeah.
Not for work reasons. Well, you listen to the podcast after we do this because to make sure we didn't say a bunch of racial slurs or whatever and we just forgot.
Sometimes
or
I
make sure to put some more in and we don't know about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I enter a fugue state and forget.
Yeah.
So.
But no, I mean like, hey man, we did a really good podcast this week. I better listen to it. That'll be a lot of fun.
Aw, yeah.
Like, fuck off. You were there.
You know, while he edits the podcast, he should listen to last week's podcast to spend the time.
That'd
be awesome.
Dude, that's the worst.
Do that.
I honestly probably am listening to Giant Bomb while that
you've been
while
listening
that's going
to a lot.
Down.
Every time you walk into your apartment, you listen
no,
to
it. No, I do listen to it, but it's just you've been hearing it because I've been catching up late.
I am so far behind.
I've been catching
I'm
up
like
later
a full,
and later.
Like getting behind on a podcast that you desperately want to hear the non-relevant bits as well, but there are relevant bits, is the weirdest. And I imagine people go through the same thing with us, where it's like, it's 2017, and you're like, so the new Doom came out. Oh, man, it's really good. It's like, oh,
And
that being said, thank you for tuning in to this podcast.
Oh, you can listen to multiple podcasts.
Of course
a week.
You can. There's so many
but
hours.
You should listen to this one first.
And the longest.
So many hours.
Listen to it the longest.
Oh, we are not definitely not the longest podcast out there.
Yo, fuck it. I didn't have a week. I played Overwatch and Street Fighter. And that was it.
I played...
That's all I did.
I played so much Overwatch.
That's all I did.
So I saw an image floating around of a Winston player named Harambe Revenge.
Yep, I saw
and
that.
And that was the moment that I'm like, every meme art I've seen for the past 2 weeks has been Overwatch related.
Of course.
Or Dat Boy.
Of course.
But
then it hits the point where it's not a meme, it's news as it's coming out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, that gorilla carried that child and dragged him around. Looks like Widowmaker took him out. Play of the game. Right? Play of the game to Lee Harvey Oswald. Play the music in your head. Are you seeing it?
I can see it.
There it goes.
I can see it.
And then now cut to the points.
I've got you in my sights. I can't.
Oh,
Overwatch
no.
fever is sweeping the world.
It is swelling.
It is at, one might say. Yeah, well, that, or I was going to say, like, you know, capacity. It's
max
really,
capacity.
It's really hitting.
Like
a
you could
point.
Say that the Overwatch hype train is currently charging its ultimate.
It's so like I started to play the game and I've been playing it for a while. So have you, Wooly. And I don't know if you ran into this, but there were like nearly half the cast that I was like, nah, you know, just not for me. They're not bad, and I don't dislike them. Just their gameplay style or whatever, like Symmetra, for example, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just it doesn't gel with me at all. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'll never figure it out. But because of that little thing on the screen that says, hey, dipshit, there's no sniper on your team. There's no builder on your team or whatever.
I've heard about
and
that.
And nobody else wants to go.
You eventually
end up being like, fine, I'll play Symmetra. And now... I think I like every single character on that roster.
Wow.
They all have something of real value, but you need to figure out their
deal.
Where
it is, yeah.
They have so much depth to them. Like, as Junkrat, I was terrible until I realized I should be aiming at the floor.
And doing your jumps.
Because the bounces, it bounces like two, three times. Like, the timer only starts once it hits the ground. And, like, it always goes predictably if you aim straight at the floor in front of you. But if you try and lob it, it goes all over the place.
You got a Bastion problem? Genji solve it.
It's so good.
You know, and you just got to figure out your composition from there.
You Bastion and you have a Genji problem? Fire one bullet and then stop. And then fire the rest of your bullets as soon as his animation is over.
I like that. That's the shimmy in Street Fighter.
Every single day I have found out some new tech. Like the amount of ultimates that Genji can reflect to the weird mechanics of Roadhog's chain. You know, Roadhog's chain will always pull someone towards you, even if you're like in the air or whatever.
Oh yeah, dude! Like, there's been some ridiculous
moments. I've yanked Mercies off of cliffs as Lucio knocks me to my doom, and it's the fucking best.
I last night I had a thing where we got bumped up because of either a Junkrat or a Pharah Bomb, and like it bumped me up while I was tackling a dude,
mm-hmm.
so I ended up splatting him into like almost the ceiling.
Yeah,
basically, I did a Reinhardt rush teleport through a Symmetra portal.
Yep.
And just came right out and hit a guy on the other side. Like it was like a teleport kill, not blind.
If Reinhardts hit each other, they both come to dead stops.
They both fall over.
Roadhog's chain beats Reinhardt's charge 100% of the time. It completely cancels it out.
If you're on that Ilios map where you get to the round three and you're going to be playing in the hole, pull your Zarya out, get that Graviton Surge, everybody in the hole.
Zarya is probably the best example of a character that I thought was just abjectly terrible. Like, wow. I could not stand her at all. Huh. I could not figure it at all. And then I popped my bubble and a Tracer killed the entire bubble. And then you just have this beam of doom that can't be stopped.
Yeah. And then the whole thing about her as well, with like the "Together We Are Strong" thing being like her gameplay philosophy, where literally you have to protect people and yourself, and then you're now a beast for a little bit. Like it's a really fun time.
That being said, there are some very notable flaws that they are apparently going to fix in an upcoming patch. The major one is they are going to rejigger the numbers behind play of the game so that it's not Q every single time. It's not Reaper hitting his ult every time. It's not Bastion hitting his ult every time.
It's always nice whenever you see a play of the game. It's like, oh, he hit Q, and it's like, no, actually, he took three people.
Well,
or four people
out. The one that gets me, really the only one that's like just they hit Q and it like makes me excited is Mercy revived the entire team. Whole team. But like, it's gonna make it so that ice walls that like block certain amounts of damage will count towards your play of the game point total, and healing will count towards your point total. So they'll be a lot less flashy ones, but like Zenyatta will get them sometimes.
Now, Matt, no need to hide it. You jumped in and played a whole bunch of Overwatch this week, so you can get in on this.
No.
You put your toes in, right?
No, I played like one or two matches.
If you
want me to quickly go through like my week, though, and then you can go back to Overwatch talk or whatever you guys are talking about, because I don't really know what's going on, but I watched a few things. If anyone enjoys the Friday the 13th franchise, go watch Camp Crystal Lake's Memories. It's a 6-hour documentary.
What?
That exhaustively goes through every single movie. All of them. And two things of note. When they speak to a lady that was in one of these from the late 70s or early 80s, you see this mom now. And she's like, it's so cute that I was in this. You know what I think all the fans really want? I think all the fans really want a Jason movie where all the Survivor ladies team up and fight Jason. No one wants that ever. All these ladies just are trying to get themselves over and say, you know what would be great? If I could get paid again.
No.
Because I got paid $20 50 years ago or
whatever.
And now
I'm an iconic like slasher character.
Not really.
No.
There's no iconic... Like, who's the iconic character in the Friday the 13th franchise?
Lawrence Fishburne from Dream Warriors.
It's Jason, and that's super wrong. It would be Kevin Bacon, maybe.
Yeah, it'd
anyway.
Be Kevin Bacon.
The other thing of note, in this documentary, that for about 10 seconds, they talked to some old guy, and I don't know what he did. Doesn't matter. His nameplate comes up, and his name is Dick Warlord. That was his name. And I looked at that for a while.
Yeah.
And I said, this old man's name.
You stole my name.
Dick Warlord.
Stole my BattleNet tag.
Stole your Reaper name.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes you gotta believe just, it. You gotta just track down a family and become friends with them.
Yeah.
Just to say.
I like whatever you're spitting here. It's good.
So that was really fun. I watched all 6 hours of it. It was very, 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 very in-depth. It was really, really interesting. I also watched...
Can't go not in-depth in six hours.
Could you imagine like a really surface-level interpretation of the movies that's 6 hours long? It's just old cast interviews. Well, what was it like to work on Friday the 13th?
No, but it's such not, a pleasure. Because, the director remember, is a treasure.
There's like 11 movies. They do Freddy versus Jason, and they do the remake as well.
It's about 28 minutes per movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So... I really interested. I also got back into watching a few random episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I saw a couple of them are just like slowly being re-released on like Xbox Video and PSN and stuff. And I saw they have amazing artwork. And I saw one name of the movie that they're riffing on, which is Deathstalker and the Warriors of Hell. Now I'm passingly familiar with the Deathstalker franchise.
I think I am too. Is that the Conan ripoff, the blonde guy, and he's like weirdly rapey for some reason?
It's a different guy in every Deathstalker. Yeah, it's like James Bond. And I watched this thing and I could not stop laughing. It was like one of the funnier things. Or I'm also a little bit sick, so I was kind of like, oh, let me watch this. It'll cheer me up a little bit.
And then you fell asleep.
Nope. Stayed awake the entire time, laughed all the way through. And these are the later Mystery Science Theaters, like in the later 90s. Like they went to about 1999, Mystery Science Theater lasted.
What?
Yeah. And
in my brain, that's a show from the 80s.
Yeah, it is to me too. But I forgot that they replaced the main guy, Joel, with Mike. And when they had that recent Mystery Science Theater Kickstarter thing, which was a huge success, it's with the original guy, Joel. And I was like, oh, I bet these are terrible, this the one with the new guy. And they're just as funny. And I actually get more of the references because I'm familiar with late 80s, early, like 1990 Mystery Science Theaters where a lot of the jokes go over my head because they're political jokes in the 90s.
Of people that like are either dead or you didn't know when you were alive.
Or actors. And when I watched this Deathstalker episode, they go, man, it's like playing Doom. And I was like, I got that reference.
I know Doom. I played Doom when I was a kid.
I was very, very happy. So I watched that. The other thing that William might know, I sat down and watched a little documentary called Gods of Egypt.
Uh-huh.
It was
accurate, I believe. I'm told.
It was accurate.
They got boots on the ground. They ran their cameras right in ancient Egypt and told us how.
So how is Jehuti?
So Friday night, I asked my wife, "When are you leaving? When are you going out with your friend? When are you going? What time are you going? She's like, "Why? Why?
What are you going to do when I'm gone?
I want to watch Gods of Egypt because you won't let me." And she's like, "No, because it's terrible and it's the whitewashing.
Don't wash it."
But I want to watch it, though. And she's like, fine, I'm going out at 5, whatever. And I was like, aw, yeah.
Good job reinventing racism.
So
rediscovering.
It's a reimagining of racism.
Undusting it from the sand.
We didn't really want to do a sequel to racism, so we settled on this reimagining.
So I was telling Wooly, in Gods of Egypt, there's the main plot point is that Gerard Butler needs to make a gigantic Jehuti mecha made out of the organs of the best gods in the pantheon.
Why?
Because to be the most powerful.
Okay.
Because they turn into their big mecha armors and they fight. And I'm watching
this thing. Excuse me?
Yeah. You didn't see this?
Their mummies alive powers.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's a Horus, there's a jackal, there's a ram guy.
Let's not get it twisted.
This also has one of the coolest interpretations of Anubis ever.
Really?
Where Anubis, like all the other gods, they're Jamie Lannister, they're Gerard Butler, they're Chadwick Boseman, who played, Black Panther. So most of the time, I'd say 80% of the time, they're walking and talking like they're themselves, right? The awkward thing about Gods of Egypt is that humans are not the same size as Gerard Butler or Jamie Lannister. They're actually 12-foot-tall mega gods. Okay. And they have scenes where they interact with tiny baby humans, and it gets really uncomfortable.
I feel like it's kind of shocking that I somehow missed that detail
entirely from the trailer.
It's not shown, because when you watch the movie, it's so awkward.
I would have been way more Jamie into Lannister seeing that movie.
Is taking a bath and he has tiny baby hands of human lady slaves rubbing up and down his chest, and I'm like, no wonder no one knew about this, because they're like, oh, this didn't work out when they got the film back from the special effects people. They're like, oh no,
we thought this would look cooler.
So it happens very infrequently.
Unless your fetish is Gerard Butler giant, then
no, he doesn't get any of that. It's only Jamie Lannister awkward stuff.
Okay.
But Anubis never changes from cool jackal form and is always in the nether realm showing you where to go, and he's like, okay, the end of the world is happening at some point. You know, the general idea of the movie, the end of the world is happening. I can hold it off for a bit.
For like a...
And then they go, are you sure, Anubis? And Anubis like, yeah, sure, man. And then they go, okay. And that's kind of the... Anubis held down it for a while. And okay. I was like, whoever made this movie knew that Anubis is the best and the coolest and the strongest.
Well, every myth and religion's death god... is like the dopest of them all.
Yeah.
So like it's too easy to James Woods them and make them funny and lame. So
no,
like
super
use
cool.
them sparingly, well, and then they'll be cooler.
I remember when Comic Book Girl was referring to the part where like how it's like it's actually a flat earth or something like that.
And yeah, it's a flat earth.
And it follows the ancient Egyptian like lore of like the sun is actually being drawn on a carriage.
Yes.
I forgot the name of that god, and like
Ra.
And it's like this whole ongoing battle every day
night
and
he
night.
He has to fight the demon of Armageddon during the night.
Yes,
it's so fucking cool. So at the end of the day, it's
that's
schlocky.
What day and night is.
Oh, it's schlocky.
It's
isn't
entertaining.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a notch below the Mummy movies.
Which
words? Mummy movies?
The first two.
Okay.
And those are the words that got me going, wait, hold on, stop.
But it's way, way better.
I love the Mummy levels
of
schlock.
It's way, way better than
one
like,
and two are so good.
Than Clash of the Titans or whatever. And so here's the thing with the whitewashing. I was explaining this to Wooly. So here's their problem, right? And I totally get where their problem was. We have a star. What star can we get? We need a really big star. All right. You know, the guy from Game of Thrones, people know him enough. Let's have him as the main character. Sure. One white guy. Okay, cool. So let's have the bad guy. Oh, well, it can't be a black guy or anybody of color, because then that looks really bad. Yeah. And if they did cast him as a black guy, it would look really bad.
Oh,
it's literally...
Like you can see the plot in your head and just like...
It's bad.
Yeah, okay.
So, all right, let's make him a white guy. I'm like, that's not... All right, I guess that's fine. Now, here's the thing that Toth, the god of wisdom, he's played by Chadwick Boseman, the guy that played Black
Panther. I saw the clip using him, and I was really happy with that scene. It looks really cool.
He's quite funny, and he's kind of there for comic relief, but he's a smart, like, god. He's like the other guy in Mummy's Alive, the snake.
He's the book
snake
nerd.
Guy, the book
right,
nerd, right,
right, right.
And I'm like, that's fine. He's in the movie for a decent little bit. Now, the actual problem with the whitewash is that they have the main human character, which is a doofy, most like whiter than me or Pat or Liam or Wooly. And he's just the whitest guy ever. And he's the main human that is in this road trip scenario with Jamie Lannister. And I'm like, but why can't he be a black dude or like a guy of color? Why, like... That's weird, because as they go, they hate each other. Like, humans suck. They're weak.
Yeah,
the gods don't listen to us. They think they're so big. Just
they're literally
giants,
big, though.
They're, right?
They're quite large.
And I'm like, well, if that was – that would have been a nice balance where, like, he's actually in the movie 80% of the time. And he's just the wimpiest, dorkiest. He's a thief, he has the hottest girlfriend ever. And the girlfriend constantly says, where'd you steal that from? You got me this dress. Where'd you steal it from? Because you have no job.
Is she Egyptian?
She's more
is
like
anyone Egyptian.
Would you just? I'm just gonna go on a limb here. Would you describe her as vaguely ethnic?
Yes, she's
Jade from fucking Beyond Good and Evil.
She's Mediterranean.
I'd say,
but she's
because
a little,
it's like if any the question is just does anyone look vaguely Egyptian?
I love
yes. There's one girl that
there's
I remember,
one.
Well, I mean, of a major character.
Good.
In the backgrounds, and like when you see the whole pantheon of the gods. gods. Most likely they don't show, they don't tell you who everyone is, but there's lots of people like spotted, like, oh, that guy's dark skin, that guy's like a girl, whatever.
Like, there should be Dothraki looking motherfuckers everywhere.
Where's my Aquaman?
There's a human character that's kind of an evil guy that's like kind of vaguely Dothraki or whatever.
Oh, man.
But remember, if you saw one of the trailers, there's two gigantic snake monsters that are chasing.
I do not remember.
Well, there's two gigantic snake monsters. They're actually quite cool. And both of them are being ridden by two girls. One that's the most Nubian princess ever.
Yeah.
And one that's the really light-haired, very vaguely eyebrowed blonde girl from The Wives of Mad Max.
Oh, so it's like that PSP.
It's like the PSP.
It's exactly like that place.
That's exactly where it's I was exactly going. Like that. It's like, yeah, okay.
Beat you to it.
PSP.
There's a giant celestial space graboid slash tremor.
All right.
So I was overall, that wasn't too bad. But, like, it deserved not to make any money. But whatever. Because it costs a gazillion dollars.
It costs a bazillion dollars.
I also played Hard Reset Redux.
Okay, what is that?
That's a
I mean, I mean the Redux. I know what Hard Reset is.
What did we learn from Shadow Warrior? Put that back in to this.
Yeah.
So you have a fast, like, Devil May Cry dash, like a Lo Wang does. You have an electric... a sword now.
I don't remember these things from the original game.
Because they added it into
the new
Redux. And there's completely different enemy placement, new enemy types, whatever. I was having a lot of fun with it. Story is incomprehensible garbage. It's better to just skip it.
I feel like Eastern Europe can only go one of two ways with that. It's like either the story is The Witcher or it's every other game from that region.
Yeah. I was really, really digging it. I just stopped a few levels in. And I really like how you're always fighting robots, so there's always these electrical outlets or things that you shoot to shoot arcs of electricity to stop robots, to destroy them. And there's lots of fun you can have with the environment. And it's just – it's a very – like if people like the recent Doom and don't know Hard Reset, or if you like Shadow Warrior, like give it a go. So I lied. I played tons and tons of Overwatch.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Did you guys? This is more for the viewers.
Did you guys see that video of fucking what's his name? Lucio wall riding his way out of the hole on Ilios after being knocked to the bottom.
There's videos of Lucio wall riding forever because if you set his jump to scroll on your wheel, you can do the Mirror's Edge PC bullshit tricks.
I'm not gonna do that.
And just spam it forever.
When I went over to go record at Woolies, I left Overwatch on, and I was like, oh god. I have to go record shit. I really want to play Overwatch. Anyway, fuck. I guess I'll go and do my job. So I left, and then while we're recording, I get a text, and Leanna writes, so I got you two loot boxes.
Oh.
I've been leveling for you. And she plays Zarya.
There you go.
And she's just like, I like her because I have a lot of health.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's true. She has like 400 health.
And half of her health is shields, which is way better than regular health.
But like, you gotta really, to win with Zarya, you gotta really be like on top of the battle and almost be like a leader in a way.
Zarya,
you have to be a commander because you have to kind of know where everyone is and know who to shield.
I'm at level, thanks to her, I'm at level like 17 now.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen maybe two Zaryas ever.
I fought a group that had two Zaryas, and it was the worst massacre I've ever received in the entire game. Like, they were popping their shields so that more than half their team was fully invincible right when we would push, and then they would turn into gods and be totally unstoppable.
No, you can't. A bad Zarya is just going to be a dead weight that'll pull the team down.
Be like
down.
A really shitty pyromancer.
You're a waste of a
slot. Pyromancer, pyro from TF2.
But a good Zarya will fucking hold it down. Absolutely.
Like, it really helps.
Combining her ult with anyone else that does good damage.
Honestly, like, even without the ults, like, even if you have like somebody like Soldier 76 or Hanzo, as long as they just start firing directly into the pile.
Yeah.
Speaking of Soldier 76, I started playing like we talked about, like, I was just like, Farrah, I love Farrah. And like, here's how, because I'm stuck firmly in offense.
Okay, you're having trouble branching out?
No. I never branched out. I stay in offense, and I'm like, here's what. Now that I've seen what almost every character can do, I'm going to max out everyone I want offense, and this is how the game will keep going for me. And then once I get bored, all filter down into everyone else.
Yeah, as soon as you get bored, because like moving over to like Hanzo or Roadhog or Reinhardt or Junkrat or May is like a wildly different experience. Yeah, it couldn't it, like.
Because it started with Pharaoh, then it moved to Soldier 76, and I'm like, oh, he's kind of boring. But I have these cool skins. I did, in a random loot, I got his, like Evil Knievel, like America thing. I was oh, that's fun. So when I started playing him, like, I do way, way, way better with him than Pharaoh just because...
They're different skill sets.
They're different skill sets.
Yeah, and I got
And it depends who you're fighting. Like, Pharaoh is hard countered by Soldier 76.
Right, right, yeah. And then
weather looks and cloudy person. With a chance of justice!
Rains from above, and the most satisfying thing, aside from even getting like you know a good drop or whatever, is I totally got play of the game. There's
it's the best.
No way
it's the absolute
I
best.
Didn't get play of the game. The play of the game is mine. All your plays were lame. Mine was of the game. And then when it actually happens, and yes, it does happen. 0.5% of the time where you call it and I act well, at least for me, you call it and I actually get it. So unfortunately, it's kind of like what you said. I was Soldier 76, and I think we were in the kind of garage hangars of Route 66, where everyone is piled in there, and I'm up above a rafter, and it's I've got you in my sights. Just... Shot three people in one row. The alt wore off, and then a McCree is just running back and forth, and I killed. That's the other thing. You can almost always lock it if you have your alt
press Q
plus a regular
and a random kill.
And a random
well,
kill.
What it that is get a quad. If you get a quad, you got
a quad.
The
you
yeah, and that's then every now and then you get the miracle like Reaper where the whole team
was sitting
goes
there.
Down.
Yeah.
My personal favorite ones to see are Reinhardt doing the Earthshaker. Followed by the projectile that hits everyone
kills
in front of
the
him.
Other dude
followed,
to the wall.
Followed by the wall, followed by turning that around to hit the swing on the guy you didn't pin, but you did knock away, which is usually like a diva
that
out of a robot.
Was the perfect Reinhardt play of the game. Doing everything.
Yeah.
Doing everything, and it wasn't just
occasionally
a
on that, occasionally on some master, you have long stretches.
Yeah.
You'll just hit shift, and right before your dash is about to wear off, a guy just happens to walk through a doorway and had no idea you were there. And then your distance resets to infinite. As soon as you pin someone,
yes, you double your it goes the entire distance from the pin exactly. Then you have the other thing where it's like play of the game to Toblerone or Symmetra
and
staring at a wall. And they're just
walking
in a circle, going dum de dum, while all their targets
there was
do the
a,
work.
There was a play of the game with I was playing with Bird Squad, and it was literally like the guy walking back to the fight out of spawn. Like the play of the game started with him in the respawn timer. And then because he molten cored the and then died instantly.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I've never had a play of the game like kind of like show a bug. I've seen maybe one or two. Like really, it was like Widowmaker shooting one guy in the head, then walking back and forth and doing nothing else. And I'm like,
means that game was shitty.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was like, was the game that shitty? Yeah.
My favorite so far bug that I've encountered. I don't know if it's a bug or it's intended, but D.Va's mech explosion is based off line of sight only.
Yeah,
and if anything is in between you and
you're
fine, including the signposts.
Huh?
The signpost that's like 2 centimeters wide.
Okay.
As long as there is a physical object of the stage in between you and it doesn't matter how much of your body is visible.
Okay.
Like it will block it.
I just want to put out a PSA for Reinhardt people out there and anyone that's new that hasn't seen it yet or whatever. Yes, it's super cool and dramatic when a Reinhardt pushes the D.Va mech out of the way to self-sacrifice and save the team, but it's stupid because
she can usually fly back off. Like if you try and do it to D.Va off the edge without the explosion, she can fly back on.
Yeah, no, that's not what I mean.
And if you want to do it to the exploding robot, like you better be careful.
I'm talking about how everyone gets all like, oh my god, because Reinhardt pushes the exploding mech to save the team.
And sacrifices himself.
And you're like, you're an idiot. You can shield it. And everyone gets behind your shield, and you still have 800 shield left. It only does 1,200.
Well, what if the shield just got broken?
Then you push it, and you push it right away, and you hit the wall, and then you usually would have enough shield to just hold it up and survive. You don't have to die in that scenario. It's not as cool,
You know what's not going to be a play of the game? That.
Yeah. No.
Well, man, if they rejigger the numbers properly, like your like defense of that, like negating potential damage, actually might be played.
No, it is. It already is because last night one of my plays of the game was killing a die as soon as he.
Yeah,
stopped,
that's a shutdown play of the game.
Yeah.
Like Mercy, not Mercies, Widowmakers that headshot people like within like 100 milliseconds of their ult popping.
Anytime
play of the game,
anytime you hear Justice range from that's a decent chance.
There's nothing better than killing a Reaper that got his first die out.
Yeah.
Die.
No, there's one better. There is one better, and it's Heroes Never. It's like, oh, because
it's
you're in
high. No,
because you're in like Mercy's entire ult just disappears on that. Like some of them keep some of their ult, but Mercy's is gone, and it's like, oh man, that's a whole redirect that's gone now.
That's true. You mentioned Symmetra before, because like up until a certain point, I never saw Symmetra, and I don't care for her design except for her, like, you know, alternate skins, which are amazing. But I was like, man, she's just like so boring. She like looks kind of similar to Pharah, where she's just like, you know, a dark woman with like bluish armor.
Metal stuff.
And I'm like, eh, you know, she's fine or whatever. I don't really care. But then when I actually saw, like, Diva. Just based on the teleport, just based on getting the entire team back into the fray,
did you get
by putting the teleports where they need to be, I'm like, oh my god, that's so useful.
So if you think about what it is, she doesn't heal, but strategically, a teleporter is just like a res.
So apparently,
pretty much,
cuts down on time.
Apparently, back in an earlier version of the game, her shields gave 50 instead of 25.
Okay,
and it annihilated game balance because it made Tracers and Genjis impossible to kill.
Right. Okay.
Like
250 on them.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, like Tracer would get 200 instead of 150, and that's fucking 25% of her health.
So it took me a while to realize, like, why are people drawing this? I don't get it. And here's kind of what my tiny little nitpick on Overwatch is right now. I know it's a multiplayer shooter, but okay, why are people drawing this? I don't get it, because the game doesn't impart any information.
Talking about the pornography?
No. The game doesn't impart character stories.
Yeah, you have to look at their fucking website.
Anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is she always eating Doritos? Why is she always drinking Mountain Dew?
Because she's a pro gamer.
I know that, but the game doesn't
tell you. The game does tell you that.
Where does it tell you?
Her sprays.
Her quotes.
And her quotes.
Sure.
If you pick her and stuff.
I picked her like twice. Yeah,
okay,
right?
Okay.
But this is where my tiny nitpick is, where I wish in the hero gallery at least profile.
Have the bio that already exists on the website?
Yeah.
Put it in the game.
Just put it in the game.
Yeah, like all the cinematics that are not in the game either.
Promotional
material.
Just like... Because my actual thing, like in the future, maybe, and I know this is a real long shot, but and I know like a lot of people, this is like a broken record with games like Street Fighter V and other stuff. It's like it'd be really cool to have like a little 20-minute go through the ladder of little scenarios, pick the character you want, get a little animatic story,
You did have that.
Ending.
It's the tutorial that doesn't think you know how to play video games.
What's
the 76 tutorial?
Yeah, that thing.
Oh.
Okay. Well.
That's what you're going to get ever.
Well,
what can I say? I feel like that this is the kind of complaint that only arises on something like Overwatch because the characters are so interesting.
That's
whereas like it's Counter-Strike. Right, like that's what it really is.
It really is that. But when the characters are so interesting, you want to learn
about
them.
Yeah, I agree.
But once I saw these D.Va images, my favorite one so far was her playing like a game, and she's drawn like a scrunchy
like a gremlin. Yeah,
and you hear like, oh, Justice, oh, and she's like, mommies, and she looks inside like a dark room, and she sees Mercy and Pharah like with their cheeks flushed, and they're like, oh no. Hannah, what are you doing? She's like, Bobby's, I want McDonald's.
Right.
And then they're in the car with D.Va with a bunch of fries coming out of her mouth. And she's got angry eyebrows on, and Pharah and Mercy look really embarrassed.
I'm a big fan.
I was like, these are hilarious.
Of a Gremlin D.Va and Soldier Dad.
Yeah, and Soldier Dad.
So of course, like, again, anytime you have good character designs in anything, you're gonna get immediate like fan art.
Yeah, but all the characters are so good.
Waving in.
They're like Soldier 76 should be the most boring shit ass fuck ever.
Reaper as well, but because he's so edgy and stupid,
such a massive edgelord
that you can have fun with him.
So I, on the note of fan art and stuff, I want to give a huge shout out to Alpha Gamboa. Who totally caught something that I was like, what? This is interesting. Basically, like, made this huge description about how if you look really carefully,
Farrah's a quadruple amputee.
And a bunch of the cast are as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people are missing out on the fact that, like, it's possible that Lucio's legs and
McCree's left arm.
There's some obvious ones, right?
Symmetra's right hand.
There's some obvious ones. But there's some stuff in there that's a lot more subtle. And, like, I think Farrah is probably the most subtle.
Farrah is very obviously a quadruple amputee.
And, like, you look at just the toy limbs that are there, you know, and you go, that has to be
like the hinges. Like, there's no place for an arm to go through that arm.
And, like, so you follow the conversation, and it's like someone asks Blizzard, and Blizzard doesn't answer directly.
They just say, that's her suit.
Yeah. And then, right? And then, like, the actual artist who, like, made the 3D models and stuff is like, oh, they're stuffed, but I can't say anything.
Because it'll be the focus of the next, like, animated short.
But it seems
shit.
Like a bunch of the heroes are totally people like that are part Omni as a result of like war injuries.
Because it's part of that story that Matt wants to see that we're not allowed to see. Like that, there is supposedly a conflict going on in this game.
What is it?
It's between the blue team and the red team.
Fuck the red team.
You know, I saw that one. That was great. You know what I love? You are always the blue team. They're always the red team.
Yeah.
Because. Like, they're America's Army-ing it. Have you ever played America's Army or anything?
No, but I know it.
So, in America's Army, you are always playing in the multiplayer suite as the American Army, and the other team is always the Op 4.
Okay.
Always.
Okay. Like, it works in a multiplayer context.
Yeah.
It works.
But, and, like, it's stuff like, you know, you can always tell at a glance, like, is that Winston Electricity hostile or not?
Yeah,
exactly. You know,
is that May?
Is that ice?
Is that our ice or their ice?
Honestly, it really doesn't matter. I've been killed just as often by friendly ice. Like, I'm running away, and a fucking ice wall from my own team member appears in front of the door that I need to get into, and I can just hear May going like, "I stopped the team from getting in." And it's like,
I'm helping. You can see like there's this great replay of like a mercy that gets like, you know, in the Asian map
Hanamura,
there's like the second point and there's that little room on the side where the health pack is, and an enemy Junkrat is inside there, and a mercy goes in, and then a friendly Mei puts up an ice wall and locks them in there together, and the guy who's playing is just like, I guess I'm just gonna have to kill Junkrat now as mercy. And he just strafes and does it from full health to nothing with a fucking mercy gun, and it's like, you asshole, you trapped me in here, and it totally worked. Like, you get these great moments like that. The fact that like earlier, like, girlfriend's like staying over, and it's just like, isn't really watching, but it's just, there's lingo going on over the mics and stuff, and you kind of think about what it's like to be out of context and hear someone going, high noon, back out.
Literally the exact same thing happened to me.
Are you shouting high noon and running? Like,
he's high nooning.
What is that? What?
High noon.
You know, like,
did you guys
only
read
in Overwatch.
The really, really interesting article by Anthony Birch on Destructoid about the characters in Overwatch?
I did not know. What's it about?
You should really read it, because he's like, this is why it's so good.
Talk about the writing.
He goes, this is why it's so good. Not a single line is annoying. It is perfectly balanced to impart the information you need to know. They are cliched lines that in and of themselves are not inherently entertaining, but people were able to take it. High noon is the most cliched thing a cowboy could ever say, but now everyone knows and they like it. It's so good to hear all these non-annoying lines, unlike, say, Borderlands.
I was about to say,
By the way, sorry. Yeah, that's what he wrote in the article.
I was about to say, Birch knows a little thing or two about too many annoying lines.
Yeah, so he says it like, this is why Blizzard is so good. This is why all the lines that people say in StarCraft and whatever, in Warcraft, they're all not funny, but... And out of context they are, and then people gravitate towards them and say them a lot.
Can everyone hear every line?
No.
Some lines are just to you,
there's
right?
There's that tip that says, the strongest, most dangerous people on the map are the ones you hear the most.
So here's the deal. Mm. Have you noticed that Farrah says justice reigns from above, but other times she will say missile barrage incoming?
Yeah.
Justice reigns from above is your team.
Yeah.
Missile
barrage
incoming is the enemy team.
Right. No,
they're all like that if they have voice lines.
But what I mean, no, I don't mean like that. I just mean like if you're respawning at the same time as someone else. Because like as Reinhardt, you're respawning. He's like, again.
Yes, they can all hear that. Yes.
Everyone can hear those. Yeah. Okay.
And it's like when you play a Symmetra, you hear it a lot because throwing the shield on somebody, they all thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And like I love those little details where like people will call out turret ahead
or tell
and it's not
turret down.
The enemy has a teleporter.
I found their teleporter.
Yeah, and it's like teleporter I don't online. Like all I need to know is like, wait, who said that? That was Winston. Okay, right. Winston's over there. So therefore, I at least have a general idea of where that teleporter could be or what have you.
Yeah, if you're running out there and you see three skulls respawning, just stick around a little bit.
Yeah, you know why that team's doing so well? Because they have three Widowmakers.
Then you need to counterpick.
Fuck, man. Randos, like straight up pug games. Hey, I want to play Genji this time, and I pick Genji first. Then two other guys pick Genji, and they refuse to come off
it. The courtesy is whoever picked it first.
And okay, I'll pick Mei or whatever. That'll work. And then like they're getting blown up. Like they're not only not good, but they're being directly counterpicked.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not change the entire game. Like, the whole game is built around if somebody picked a character that wants to hang out on the spot of your map that you want to hang out on, and they are a hard counter to you, they're like Genji to your Bastion or something, pick a fucking different character. Pick somebody else.
No, and that's the thing
isn't necessarily a hard counter to them, but you're comfortable with and isn't like just decimated.
And like I'm someone that wants to play tanks, but I'm absolutely learning that like to be
you
a good team member,
you cannot just
you
do
need
that.
To have versatility and pick what's needed.
You need one of each role
that you're decent at.
Because
that's why I'm trying to like go down the ranks
and like the,
I find the one offense guy, like I'm like this is the like, you know, the one that, like, I think I work the best at and then, like, move to the other one.
And they're so wildly different that, like I mean, I was talking with people the other night. It's like, how the fuck is Symmetra classified as support? She is the most pure defensive character
a
in the whole
game. A teleporter is a res,
I
man.
I guess.
A teleporter
like,
is a res.
Jeez. But you it can know? Be destroyed.
Yeah.
But it
also
you can put
like
it anywhere.
Those turret like laser turrets like if you have like two Symmetras and they just drop them all in one spot.
Did you get the car wash achievement?
No.
The car wash achievement is hit them with six turrets and your beam simultaneously.
At the same, okay, yeah.
It's car wash.
Fucking
dude,
you're done.
A Reinhardt from full to nothing in like a second and a half.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can be done.
Well, a smart Zarya is what you do.
Yeah, smart Zarya just becomes super strong.
Treat it like a block, right? It's like, nerf this, everyone runs away. I'm like, yes. I'm like, someone stick with me. Bam, we're at 100.
Yeah, there's a goddamn weird overkill mechanic on that thing where it does have 200 health, but it will always negate one hit.
Oh, the
but the shield does have health. It can't be destroyed,
there is a parry block on it.
The
yes.
first hit of damage is infinite durability.
No matter what, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why like dragons are a problem, but any one hit thing is
do you
not.
Know as Roadhog you can just stand there and take the entire dragon ultimate if you heal when your health gets low.
Oh jeez. Ridiculous.
You can take the entire thing. Like no you don't even end up at that particularly low health. You end up at like 150 or something.
Hold on a moment. I think the sponsors have something to say about Overwatch. All right, so we said it last time, and again this time, we're sponsored by Loot Crate, and the theme this month is Dystopia.
Dystopia. That sounds like a fantastic, perfect box that has no flaws.
Except underneath the box, there's a child being tortured for the perfect items that you're getting inside each box.
All right,
that's acceptable.
Let's just start right away by saying that is not the actual case. This analogy immediately flew off the rails.
Okay. Well, what is your dystopia of choice then? Is it the dystopia where everyone has to take a pill of some kind of nefarious consequence.
Equilibrium, where everyone has to suppress their own
right.
Emotions.
Like, what's your dystopia of choice? Because my brain immediately goes to the ones who walk away from Omelas. But
my dystopia of choice is Brave New World, in which everyone is popping soma all day to be sky high and happy all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Because
that
as far as dystopias go, at least they're all high on drugs and living the life.
Mm. Yeah.
They're like existentially unfulfilled, but compared to something like Blade Runner. Or fucking Logan's Run.
Where it's just kind of miserable generally.
Or fucking Soylent Green, where it's just like a goddamn shithole.
Those are the good ones because, like, We Happy Few or, like, Rapture, you can just wait it out.
Yeah, you fine.
It'll unravel itself.
Well, how long do you gotta wait? Sometimes you gotta wait hundreds of years.
Well, luckily, you have something that won't unravel itself. You have to unravel it, and you only have to wait a couple weeks to a month maximum.
That's true.
That's right. You're getting that Loot Crate dystopia box sent straight to your door. With 4 to 8 items themed to that month's theme.
That you will, must like. There's the only one choice.
So, you kind of have to. It's
so the governing party has decreed. Okay. And there's lots of famous dystopias out there, and this month you'll be looking at some, including things like RoboCop.
Oh, god damn it.
Oh, wait, we got into a whole thing last time.
Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
The Matrix. BioShock Infinite, Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
Little bits of that. Little bits of dystopia there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Terminator, I was kind of like, is that a dystopia?
Well, it depends what part of Terminator.
Yeah. Depends when, right?
So. Certain parts of Terminator are just straight up post-apocalypse.
But there's a slice of Skynet life.
Like right before.
In there,
like
where
right
you have
before.
Dystopia. Yeah.
I hope it's like a mug that says, I love Skynet.
Right.
Skynet
that
is...
That Terminator's drink
Skynet
out of.
Skynet is my favorite teenage boy AI character.
Oh, yeah.
Taken straight from the Skynet offices of Salvation.
He's on the cover of Tiger Beat magazine, young Skynet boy.
So, you want to get in on that. You want to sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. And you want to head on down to lootcrate.com/super. And I know the promo code super. Save $3 on that new subscription. And, no torture children in the box. So get your dystopia guilt free.
Oh,
right.
We spent so much time getting away from that, and then you just went right back to it. Like you just couldn't
right
help
there.
It. It's right there,
and it makes everyone happy.
Everyone.
It does me. It gets me where I need to go.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
Well, I don't know about you, but continuing that thought process of dystopias, I can say that. One perfect world that I would live in would be one
without any books at all.
Yeah.
Like Equilibrium.
No.
That Matt mentioned slightly earlier.
Yeah. None. Not a single book.
Just burn those books and shoot your Sean Beans.
Right. But in exchange for no books, you have infinite trees.
Infinite trees is okay.
Right?
Well.
Just like all the...
Well, you know, until the heat death of the universe.
Yeah, well, you know,
well,
a lot of really...
It would be nice if trees would start pitching in.
A lot of good... Well, they pitch in a lot of air, but a lot of good villains over the years, all they really wanted was more trees. Millions Knives, the Dragons of Earth,
there's
and
never
X,
been an actual
you know?
Scientific
Don Cheadle in
of
that
trees
one Captain Planet skit.
Yeah, but you don't gotta be a villain to want more trees. In fact, if you... Take a look at the services offered by Audible.
Audible.
You can get yourself lots of knowledge in this world without books, but you don't need books because Audible provides it to you through audiobook
you
format.
You do need ears, but considering you can hear this ad read, I think you have that part covered.
And if you're in the Equilibrium future, it'll be easy to kind of hide it. Like, I'm listening to our leaders... You know, glorious speeches. That was the sixth speech last. No, I'm not listening to Hannibal books.
And if you're listening to the descendants of the people who initially listened to this message, you're already living in this world where your ears are hypersensitive. They've evolved to listen to audiobooks more.
Big ass ears. All
your
over
eyes
the place.
Are worthless because you don't need to read anything anymore. You just need to listen to your books, man.
You know, your eyes are better for more than just reading books, right?
I don't think so.
I really doubt it, but I'll tell you what. Let's put it to the test.
They're generally useless.
Head on down to audiblepodcast.com/bestfriends, right?
Yeah.
You head over there, and then you get a free 30-day trial membership to go nuts and pick from over 250,000 audiobooks.
The last time we did an ad, it was like at 150,000.
Over a quarter million books to pick from.
Damn.
Right? And you take a listen, you see how that goes, and then you just walk outside. And you burn all your books, hold your hands up to the sky, and embrace this new future.
Yeah.
of audiobooks.
This is the way this goes. This is the path.
Oh, absolutely.
Next week, I'm going to be looking out my window and seeing smokestacks of like burning book piles from around the city.
Not those regular ones you can usually see.
No, no, but the ones that signify that audiobooks are the way forward.
The one that signifies progress.
That's correct. You know, burn those books for progress.
Progress fires are good fires.
Right? When has there ever been a bad fire for progress? Never. Never. So anyway, stand up there with the likes of Nero as Rome burns down around you.
Throw your spears into the ocean.
And praise the audiobooks, because knowledge will be passed forward through sound, my friends.
Oh, okay.
Audiblepodcast.com/bestfriends. 30 days, 250,000 titles.
That can't be right.
And you pick them, you have them for life. What's better than that?
Nothing.
Thanks, Audible.
Thanks, thank Audible.
You. All right.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
That was a lie.
Wooly lied.
People died.
Nothing to say about it.
We got to get off of Overwatch because we're going to talk about it.
Overcast.
Like, also, congratulations to Overwatch for selling like 7.5 million copies right out the fucking gate.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's Blizzard, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's been a while since I think like a game has like,
totally absorbed everyone you fucking know that
everyone.
Plays games.
And not just some peripheral people or not just the first person shooter people.
Yeah.
Waifus and husbandos are that powerful.
Art is that powerful.
Good art.
Yeah, no, for sure, but
you know, that's why everyone's
so, like,
on it.
Every time a really big, hotly anticipated game comes out, like you can see the world in FF14 get visibly smaller in terms of player population. I've never seen it like this, dude. Like you're logging in on the middle of the day on a Saturday, like 6 days after Overwatch came out. There's six people out of like 280 online. Like holy shit.
Yeah. No, I'm doing some five practice, get some matches in, rank up once. All right, over to Overwatch. You know, like when I feel like a decent amount of progress is made, my reward is switching over to Overwatch. It's a fucking blast, man. It's such a good game.
So much so that there's a meme of where people, I can't afford Overwatch, so I'll just stare at the wall.
Well, I'd rather do that than play fucking Battleborn.
The flow chart is like, are you stupid? Yes, Battleborn. Are you no? Okay, do you have money? Yes, Overwatch. No, TF2.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right, we got to get into news.
The newsies.
Because there's a lot happening.
It's amazing how I had like nothing of value for my entire week.
Same here, dude.
Like, I started crafting in 14. Okay. That's boring.
Well, no, I got there's something, I guess. Because, I mean, there's stuff in progress that's not really talked about. Locks on your heart or suspicious pasta? How do you feel about it now that it's done?
I'm glad we're here. That episode is a masterpiece.
It's the best.
It's what we've been building up to for years,
dude. Oh, JoJo.
Oh, also I should mention, why are the Titans just murdering all the colonies for no reason? I just turned a corner, and they just say in order to make sure that everyone knows that we can't be beaten, we need to gas like a billion people.
Because if you're in a colony, that you could be harboring suspected enemies.
And their logic is like, oh, this will get them all to back down. And it's like, are you stupid? Like, come on.
The
colony laser is pretty cool.
If you're not on Earth, your life doesn't matter.
Wow. Titans are dirtbags. I don't like them very much.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
can Jared come back so Camille can throw him down a cliff again?
Shit can get worse.
All right. I have a complaint about Gundam. It's important.
Okay.
The first time it was really bad. The second time it was even worse. But the third time, I want somebody to put a gun in Camille's mouth. That cyber new type is mentally unstable. Stop trying to reason with them. They will die at the end of this arc.
But I got to get my dick wet.
I'm your brother, Rosamie.
But I
get my dick wet on you, girl, who I'm taking advantage of, who is mentally disabled. Like,
dude,
and it's the same time ever, like three times in a row. He's like, "Oh, you're normal now. Great, let's go away to the Argama." And then they have some kind of psychotic break in which they pull a gun on him, and he goes, "What are you doing? fucking whoever.
So
how can you do this to me? And then no, I have to save you. And then Char shows up every time. He's like, you should really shoot that bitch because that she gonna shoot you. And he's like, no, Char, I could never.
In every story that ever makes it better or acceptable or in any way dampened, is that there is often, if not always, another dumbass kid that's even stupider. That yeah, does Cats. Something way
Cats
worse.
Continues to exist, and he hasn't done anything really all that bad lately, but he was shown entering a battle in the last episode.
So that's that. Just wait for the other kid to do something worse.
Cats, you resurrected Neo-Hitler. Why did you do that?
Oh, my God. And then it's like, and no matter what time frame you jump into, there's always another one. By the way, like for some reason, people are convinced that you don't know about what G Gundam is.
Of course I know what G Gundam
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so...
But this hand of mine is burning red, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. I've never seen it.
Yeah, but you know that there's a hype fighting Gundam
yeah,
series out
that's,
there, right?
That's
yeah,
that's on the list. Okay, there. Just, it's, I'm watching them all in release order.
We just need to make it public.
Okay.
Because it's like, tell Pat about G Gundam. It's like, he knows what it is.
I've known... I've known about G Gundam
it's kind
since
of impossible
like
not to.
97.
Also, we watched... the cool shit in that Gundam episode we did for Mecha Week. And
it's true. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You saw Master Asia and all the fun stuff. All right.
Master Asia.
So this week, so much shit went down.
All right.
So much shit went down.
Who's dead? Damn. Who's fired?
Well, I would hope that the dead and fired folks would be the people that make the decisions at Konami in Japan. But that doesn't seem to be the case because they're going to be pulling in so much money.
I don't want to talk about this particular.
Well, too much, too fucking late.
Okay,
you want to see?
You know what? I saw Liam on somewhere post a link somewhere that said no spoilers, and I didn't click it. And this is before it really came out, and I was like, I bet that's
you know
a
what it is.
So
thing.
No spoiler has been ruined.
It's
by
been
Konami
ruined.
Need to find
because
no,
it's always a pachinko
no, by
machine.
Liam because we know now what it always is
Ever,
going to be.
100% of the time, it's
a pachinko
machine.
And this
cutscene.
One probably hurts the most
because
of
it's the new
all.
Models in the goddamn Fox
of
engine.
It does.
And it's just
like
you
I
know.
Thought the Fatal Fury, the Garo one was
yeah,
like a,
dude,
the
no,
big one.
No, no, no. There's nothing more than this. And Plague sends me not even the link. He just says like, oh, you're gonna die soon. I'm like, I'm already dead, Plague. Like
yeah.
The moment it happened, and it's not just the moment it happened, it's the wave of it over Twitter and social media
yeah,
for that
come
entire
to think
week,
of it, this has been a good
where you get reminded because someone else sends the link
like,
every
is,
5 or 6
it's
minutes.
Like 99% dislikes on this video.
It's
the official one they uploaded of it.
It's been a good week for Wooly's death this
yeah.
week.
Well, hey, man.
Lots of groundswell about him dying.
Yeah.
Really pushing for it hard. So you got the best-looking version of the boss I've ever seen.
Yeah. She looks, like, different than
but,
her model, but she
but still looks
look
like
better.
A person.
That's what happens when you completely redo the model.
I think Snake looks worse.
And well, we've seen a billion versions of him, so like I'll take whatever, you know.
Yes, it's fine.
I'm used to the at this point my brain is just thinking of the Phantom Pain version of him.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, and then the camera just slowly zooms out and you get those fucking pachinko borders and you die. Your soul escapes your body. But not yet. Because
no, it gets pulled back in.
It gets pulled back in
for
when the reboot revival site reveals the casting directions for the new reboot series.
So these are so bad that when I saw these, like I saw that you were like dead and you were asking
yes.
your soul to leave your body. I'm like, what's doing that? And I found the fucking thing. I read these things out live to the raid group, and no one could believe it. Like it's Superhero Samurai Cyber Squad.
So for those
for
who don't
sake.
Know, basically, the reboot Guardian Code series, there's been a bit of a, not even a leak, but it's just on Explore Talent, which is a casting website, they found the casting call for the new series, and
for
it's for the live action parts of the series.
Oh yeah, the live action parts you want
of reboot.
Oh,
and
fucking kill me.
Reboot The Guardian Code is a live action CG animated comedy series.
Comedy.
So they're casting for five roles of teenagers.
You've with got attitude.
All right, they need to find a 15 to 16 year old Caucasian skater dude.
I could play that.
They need any ethnicity techno geek.
Yeah.
They need a social media maven, opinionated, intense
alt chick. It's true.
Yeah.
Of any ethnicity.
They need a big, athletic, and strong jock.
Who loves it when people play by the rules, but has no patience for when they don't.
And they need a virtual evolutionary recombinant
who
avatar.
Has to be Asian.
Must be Asian.
Must be.
And her descriptor is a single word, attractive. So
she's literally just Elizabeth from P3.
So basically, we're looking at what is the formula for all the mid-90s dumb, like, post-Power Rangers type team-up things.
Yeah.
And it just, it like, who thinks that this works is what I don't understand.
How do you
sit in a position of power where you make these decisions and like you're in 2016 and you're looking around and you're going like, you know what needs to come back?
90s garbage.
Samurai Squad.
Like, how did you not see the mountain of bodies and go like, we're going to be different?
No.
People were originally comparing it to Zix, but now...
Don't even know what that is.
Live action kids going into a CG form.
I'm done.
Don't know what that is.
All right.
But now.
Animorphs.
Now with these new details, it's been updated to be Code Lyoko.
God. That's the one I fucking
everyone.
Know.
So everyone's looking for Code Lyoko references now.
No. Just fucking.
And if you want to, you can end my life. It's fine. I'll take it. No problem.
Can you shoot me at the same time?
On the podcast?
No, just you have to have your head directly like, behind his head when he shoots you so the bullet goes through both your
heads.
We got a Serbian film it like the end and just like line up and
I don't
use one gun.
I don't have the absurd love that Wooly does for Reboot. Like it's a bit like you are wearing a fucking Megabyte shirt right now.
Yeah.
But I liked it a whole lot, and I think it's a fantastic show.
Me too.
But the level of suicide required here is because this is the worst. Like, this isn't like, oh, they took an old show and they're changing it or whatever. This is like the worst variation / new pitch I have ever heard for any property.
It's pachinko-ing.
Yeah, it's a fucking...
this is the actual I'd rather have nothing
moment. And it's like, it might as well be a fucking, fucking battle game like show about pogs at this fucking point. Just Yu-Gi-Oh! With fucking digital
glitches.
CG pogs.
Everyone has their own glitch.
And I'm sure there's people listening to this podcast that go, what the fuck is a pog?
Yeah.
That's fine.
We've covered it.
Yeah.
But no.
Did England have pogs? I will never know.
Most I'd rather have nothing. It's ever nothing. We do have an exclusive.
Did you hear
from the subreddit. From the Best Friend subreddit. And this is fucking interesting in that... shout outs to Rad Suit, who went and spoke to the folks over at Antarctic Press.
This was great. I saw this.
The publishers of Diesel.
Ah.
Diesel, the JoJo Part 9. Diesel.
Yeah, no, Diesel, the thing that Araki ripped off to make JoJo.
And he goes to them and he says, yo, what's up with that?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, I actually know about Antarctic Press, like, for a while, but I didn't realize it was their logo on that. And he caught on and went to go ask. And
how?
So, basically, you know, after, like, kind of elbowing the dudes he would meet at conventions and talking to them, he got the story behind how Jochen Welchens, the creator... basically got a copy of the JoJo OVAs, and like because he was so blown away by it and like impressed, he knew that it would never have a chance of coming over here ever,
and that they'd never be able to get the localization or publishing deals for it.
His deal was, fuck it, I'm just gonna do an American comic version because like, that's what I have
like
access to.
He's kind of a hero in a way because he thought he was the only one that was actually localizing it.
But you're still kind of a piece of shit because you're like, nah, it's mine though. and this is like, you can spin the story to be like it was actually about JoJo awareness.
It was actually a homage piece.
Yeah.
But I don't completely buy that. And so I'm like, nah,
especially when the end of that post is like, so what happened to the guy who wrote that stuff? Oh, he basically runs the company.
Yes,
now.
He's now editor in chief, and he's a colorist for Marvel as well.
Cool.
But yeah, it's just like according to them, the reason why this happened was because, like, he thought the world would never know about JoJo.
If you're having trouble,
he had a responsibility.
The best intentions.
If you're having trouble advancing in your job, just steal someone else's work.
Yeah. Especially if you don't think
it works
ever
for
come
Gene
over.
Simmons.
Especially if it's the work of like a foreigner who doesn't even know who you exist.
Yeah, music from another country. Steal that.
It's a victimless crime.
Yeah. Foreigners don't have victim. What? Okay, no. Let's roll that back.
There was a Harvey Birdman episode about like taking Japanese songs and just making them English and putting them out there for the pop charts. And then we got the waterfall of trailers.
Today specifically.
Since there's going to be the least to say about it conversationally, I just want to get hype personally that Super Robot Wars V is actually getting an English version.
Congrats on you. You'll lose tons of money, but you're doing it. Congrats.
They're not releasing it in America.
Oh, wait. They're just releasing it.
It's an English version in Asia.
Don't lose money there.
At all.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. Fuck it. It's English.
They know that there's some folks that want and care, so why not?
Okay. I thought it was like – because I just saw the headline. I was like, wow.
No. And the reason – like that – is almost like a fucking like never gonna happen thing because of the licensing nightmare, right? Unless it's an OG game, which also was announced. Unless it's an OG game where they have nothing but original robots.
You know what they should do? An indie developer in America should make a game called Mega Android Fights, and just kind of localize it that way so people can enjoy it.
Antarctic Press, what the fuck you getting on?
This is the Redangelion.
So yeah, we got that coming out and PS4 Vita, and yeah,
there's no trailer for it yet, but
there's a 9-minute trailer.
No, I'm talking about something else. There's no trailer for it yet, but there is a goddamn like Berserk Musou game coming.
Oh, the most evil Musou game.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
the most
it's
evil.
It's just Lubu.
The most evil Musou game teased by Omega Force.
Yeah.
No.
So they just said it was the most evil.
And the coloring is similar to the new Berserk animes, like ads and shit.
But did you see a Behelit somewhere?
No,
did you
but
see
it's
a brand?
Berserk anime.
Did you hear Forces?
This? What would it be other than Berserk, Wooly?
Not Berserk.
Why would they describe it as the most evil of Musou games?
Because Griffith's in it.
But you're not evil if you're guts.
Yeah, you're great.
You're what? Like what? Where is this coming from?
It's just
the colors. That's all you have to go on?
And the quote.
Lots of things are red and black.
Yeah, like Berserk.
But isn't Lubu's color scheme red and black?
No, it's just a quote with like an image.
Okay, anyway, so...
You're going to feel really dumb when it turns out to be a Berserk.
Matt, like you're scrolling feverishly, but it's like there's nothing there. It's a teaser picture.
That's just text.
He's crazy. There's nothing relating to Berserk associated with it.
Except the fact that it's totally going to be a Berserk Musou game.
So
okay, Matt's dead for the rest of the
podcast. Yeah, I know. Because your
Destructoid article says it's going to be a Lubu standalone game.
Shut up.
Are you not hearing me telling you that that's a hookfish bait?
No, I don't care, though.
Oh,
nah.
My God.
Nah.
Did you hear about this floating city over China? Nah. No, that didn't happen. Here's a picture of it.
Nah. Nope.
Nuh-uh. So anyway, we got some E3 trailers nice and early.
Yes.
And,
kind of absurd because it's way in front of E3.
It's like a week
earlier than usual.
Well, we didn't used to get them before E3 at all.
Yeah, for sure, but got to get out in front of the pack.
Yeah, so standing out in front of the pack is Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, God, such a fucking... You know what? I'll appreciate any trailer that always takes jabs at their previous work. Like going, man.
Where's the brown level?
Where's the shitty driving sections, nuts and bolts? Oh, so fucking good. Plus, those last couple areas they show in the trailer look so fucking gorgeous.
That looks
giant,
really fun.
That giant moon, like, holy crap.
Kind of looks like what a lot of early access games want to be.
Yeah.
But don't do.
These base level Unity assets just aren't cutting it.
Yeah. Really glad they showed some like 2D like minecart sections.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just like from the first initial videos where it just looked kind of barren, and there was just the one area, you just see how much progress they made in like a year and some change. Like, it looks so fucking good.
And there's really nothing more classic than like character on top of other character in Monkey Ball kind of like form, balancing mode. Like, it's such a fucking video. Like, that's a video game, man. Yeah.
I said I'm not looking good. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed that it's now been pushed from October till next year. But
2017.
If the trailer didn't look that good, then I would.
No shortage of games to play between now and then.
I just want to play it, you know. Unfortunately, that toy box thing, that toy box demo that they have for it, is going to be released to, like, I think backers in July. So that's cool.
Cool.
Look forward to that.
We've got the announcement of Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age.
Yeah.
This was like known like, I want to say like 3 years.
This is like rumored for a while.
It like listing leak outs kind of thing. Yeah, like a million years ago, I kept thinking like oh surely, like every year, like oh surely they must announce it. It's like, nope. But now it's coming
all of a sudden,
today. And it's the good version of 12
Zodiac.
So edition. that's as HD as those assets are going to get.
That's as HD as they're going to get.
That's the best.
Luckily, that art style looks really good. Upres like FF12 for the longest time was like, hey, you got like, your PS2 emulator kicking ass.
And it's one of those games that ran at HD, right, on the PS2?
Fuck no.
I think it did.
No.
There was like two or three games on the PS2 that ran HD. I think there was one of them.
Gran Turismo, that jackass game.
Yeah, that jackass game. Am I crazy?
You're
someone
fucking
told me
nuts.
This. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that just because I never finished Final Fantasy XII, but I liked it a lot when I was playing it. And we're all searching.
I hate that game.
Why?
It sucks.
You hate Star Wars?
I hate a story that refuses to be anything but Star Wars, and I really don't like the battle system. I think the battle system is totally.
I really do need to play it because there's characters that look like my type of people in it. But here's what I like. Because
Balthier.
I like the idea of the judges. I like the idea of being an Ivalice. I like the idea of, Balthier and Fran. I like.
I liked Han Solo and Chewie better, though.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm. I don't know the details, but from a
Gran
distance,
Turismo
I'm
4.
Curious.
Yeah, the game. So I got those two right.
But like, I'm assuming like Van would have ruined it for you.
Vaughn is the worst. He's a focus tested piece of shit.
And if he wasn't
character
there,
added in by the game would be better without him. Him and Pinello can just go. There's no loss.
Someone predicted you'd say that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy XII ran in 16:9 as an optional display mode. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the other one? Yeah. Taurus Trophy. I don't know
sure,
what that is.
Okay, we're done.
And
now.
Valkyrie Profile 2, Cimmerillia. Those are the four games.
I love that jackass game is in there. That's great.
I had my component cable.
Yeah. Back then. Look, made them look way better. Like, not like whoa.
Yeah, I couldn't believe
even
it.
Even at like 480i.
Go, like, same thing for like a Dreamcast. Go get that VGA
just
plug.
Just the massive clarity increase from like S-Video. Stupid.
But if you get to see that Cactar cutscene in HD.
Oh, man. Can recreate that fucking fan video even better
totally
now.
Do it. Can I totally do it. I'm very excited.
Mocking us, definitive edition.
It's because of the way they flail their arms and shake their asses.
Yeah.
Fucking Cactar.
Which is not what I imagined that.
The wiggle of Judas.
The swastika shaped Cactar run to look like.
I think you've discovered like the hidden truth.
You've
now,
unlocked
Lord.
The Cactars.
Yeah.
Dark secret.
We've got the new trailer for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Wow, what a that's a fucking trailer.
That's a lot of plot that they've set
probably
up.
Probably a bit too much plot,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Mm-hmm. But it does get your brain sort of like spinning and like, okay, so what is this setting? What is this world?
The setting is, they've said it before, it's the post apocalypse.
Yes.
Like it is way after the fall
happened.
I really,
and then like people got past the age of the fall.
Yeah.
I really, really wish Enslaved never existed.
Yes.
To make
yes.
this game more special.
If I never played it, then does that?
No, it still exists.
I don't know anything about it.
You saw a single screenshot one
all
time.
All I know is that Andy Serkis is involved. I know nothing about Enslaved
at all. It's another failure from Ninja Theory.
I'm not going to look.
It's another failure from Ninja Theory.
So what I want to know is like, The most curious thing I have is the fact that it's like, who programmed the machines to act like animals?
Yeah. Maybe they evolved.
I'm not looking.
Fucking look at it.
I know what the box logo looks like, but I don't know any art. I don't know anything else.
The problem with a trailer like
Send
this.
Send Wooly pictures of Enslaved on Twitter.
Fine.
Enslaved and Slippy. The problem with a trailer like this, and I guess the ultimate goal is like, whatever shocking truth you're clearly setting up to be a big bomb, better be a shocking truth now. It better fucking blow me away, because that seems
to be... It was Earth all along. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
Is
like,
every Gundam I see from turn A to double Z.
You'll never make a Gundam.
You'll never make a space noid out of me.
All right. Speaking of space noids, all the enemies in this look like Zoids as well. Even closer comparison. Yeah.
I want toys of them.
I think
the setting looks fun to me.
The setting looks great. Well, I was like on board the instant I saw that bit where she's like shooting the underside of that dinosaur fucking bow and arrow. It looked great. Fucking robot deer.
Robo elks, man.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, those
fuck
cool.
You. What is Lithium City?
I don't know. Like, Matt fucking was talking about it like right before
shit.
He came over here.
Fucking
isometrical. Isometric.
Did you not watch the trailer?
I did.
I did not see it.
There's also a 6-minute gameplay demo of a guy doing it, and it's the most intense. Like, yeah, it's, I guess, Mirror's Edge or Tron aesthetic and music with...
Yeah, I wouldn't throw Mirror's Edge in there. I'd throw Tron in there.
I just mean, like, clean art style.
Glowing neon colors.
Neon stuff. And, like, just really tactical, fast, isometric shooting with a dash. I watched a 6-minute trailer of just the gameplay, and it's just really, really intense. Just floor after floor of increasingly harder enemy types and level layouts just with... Awesome music.
From the YouTube preview thumbnail that I was just able to see, the art style looks really cool.
It's the trailer with the music to the beat of the gameplay was fucking sick.
It reminded me a little bit of a Supergiant game in some ways.
A little bit,
but,
it looks cool.
Nice.
What you didn't see in the trailer, there's full melee combat too, because you start off every level with no weapons, and they say in the introductory level, procure all weapons on site. So you always start with no weapons when you go into a mission and have to use these really sick looking melee combos to get a guy's gun away from them, or robot's gun away from them, and then you arm yourself up progressively more as you go floor by floor.
Yeah.
Really, really ask people to check out the trailer if that sounds interesting.
I think they probably need to, because like when I clicked on it, it was like, you're like number like 104.
Yeah, well, so. Very, very indie game. It was released. The account that put up the trailer is just the guy's name.
Sure.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah.
Find his old Mugen like demo test reels
exactly.
on there.
Yeah. Anyway, might be cool category. Put that tag on it.
Put that little asterisk.
We got another trailer for Cosmic Star Heroine. The we talked about this a while ago, but it's the newest Z-Boid game.
Yeah.
And yeah, now we get to see a bit more of it going on, and a little bit more of the Chrono Triggering happening,
on this thing
and the
RPG-ness
happening. A while compared to Rainslick 3 and Cthulhu
Saves the World
and all his other games. This was the one that definitely. Is
well, they seem to be putting way more time and work,
and you can see it. Like, you can see it. It's absolutely. There's way more art happening.
Like
in
the
this
earlier
than
games
else.
Would be on par with like a Final Fantasy I or like an older Dragon Quest, whereas this one seems to be really going like Chrono Trigger. It's
Let's
like that's
it.
A fucking step.
Yep. Check out the trailer, man.
We'd have the fucking balls to just like compare yourself to Chrono Trigger.
Well,
Fantasy Star is their main inspiration.
Okay.
A bunch of people like go for Chrono Trigger stuff though, like, or have done over the years, I should say. There was that one game that like it was on DS that like was made here in Montreal. I keep forgetting its name. Black Sigil, I think it was
Black
called?
Sigil, yeah. They literally put part of the preview coverage for that game was like, the developers keep saying they want to make another Chrono Trigger.
Dude, the grass on the fucking
and
ground.
It's like,
is Chrono Trigger Crash.
Like, the closest I could think of that generation to that would be, like, Radiant Historia. It's not as good as Chrono Trigger, but it's pretty cool, and it's about time travel.
Oh, there God, go. And there's that new RPG as well from, was it Tokyo RPG Factory that was doing the Chrono Trigger-looking type thing?
I don't remember.
Don't remember.
Liam would know. God damn it. Anyway, so speaking of Liam, we've got this sequel to Akiba's Strip announced, Akiba's Beat. And it looks like
the pun doesn't work.
It doesn't really.
So I don't think there is a pun.
Well, Akiba Strip is like, a pun.
I know.
Your trip to Akiba, clothes. But it's also an Akiba's Strip.
But I don't think there's a pun intended for this one.
Akiba. Keep a beat.
Akiba's. Akihabara.
You just beat people.
Yeah,
here's what it is. You watch the trailer for it, and it's like the kids running around Akihabara again. But now there's like weird like speakers and like creepy looking like visuals and weird VR things attached to buildings.
Okay.
And it looks all weird. And then it just cuts to straight up Persona 3 style battle system dungeon crawling gameplay. So it looks like they're going right into full-on RPG like adventures.
All
right
then.
And
I'm good with that.
It's not what I expected from where
that
series came from.
Do the vampires still take their clothes off?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Doesn't look like they're vampires though. I don't know what I was looking at.
I wanted to strip them.
Yeah, and beat them then. It's the sequel to stripping.
Fucking stupidest game.
Oh yeah.
If you've been there, it's cool to watch the whole place in perfect.
You can only do that so
though.
Many times. That
you
novelty
can.
Wears off
you,
very
it
quickly.
Does. I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
So having another, we've got to reuse those assets.
There's only so many super potatoes you can go into in a digital game.
Yeah, yeah.
Allison Road's canceled.
I've seen the same joke about a dozen times as the first comment to every story about this. And it's like, I guess they took that PT thing a little too seriously.
I didn't see that. I echo people's sentiments where I absolutely want this to be because of Konami, just because it would be a drama
just fuel it more.
Bomb.
Yeah.
But I'm sadly assuming it's not. Now, I got initially really pissed at this because like, well, what about everyone's money? And I'm like, oh, wait, they already refunded that because they got a publisher to pick them up, so they refunded everyone's money.
Well, that's totally fine,
on the Kickstarter. And I believe it was Team 17, since this was a UK project, picked it up. I really, like, because I was really, really interested in this game just because, like, people say, you know, PT, but it was more than that. It was like you're in an entire house and they're gonna add, like, an outside foresty section. It was, like, clearly PT's
inspiration.
It was going to be cool. And, like, it really looked like it was going to be a thing. And I had spoken to the developer once or twice before about, like, you know, do you have a demo? Like, maybe we could play it for you if you want or whatever, because we're interested. You know, we have this dumb shitstorm thing. And he's like, yeah, it's not quite ready yet. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Now, don't worry. We just actually invented the game just to cheat on our taxes. Yeah, it's not going to be real. We're going to cancel it.
I hope it's not something like that. I really hope
it's seriously doubt.
Right.
I just have fun doing that.
No, of course.
Allison Road canceled because Kojima's hiring everybody.
Yay!
No, it's not true. We don't know the details, actually. We'll find out. Probably after this podcast goes live.
Whatever the band was that wrote that song was like, no, you can't call it that.
Or that.
That dead band.
Or Ludens just didn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bummer. And but we don't know why yet. And like the guy's Twitter said,
there's supposed to be a thing soon.
We'll find
out. Oh, really? Because whenever that happens nowadays, I'm just like, yep, never going to find out why.
No. The tweet specifically said, like, more details. Sorry, more details coming the next
press release or whatever.
It's being turned into the next Mass Effect. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, well, you saw this, right?
John Boyega takes the lead role as Idris Elba's son in Pacific Rim 2. Oh, that's good.
Again with the Toyota.
That's what he was tweeting about, where he's like, news from the breach coming
so
soon.
So not only is that awesome.
The coolest thing ever.
But that's perfect casting.
It
really
is.
Man.
John Boyega, like the new sci-fi hotness, I suppose.
I guess. Attack the Block, Star Wars, now you're a superstar.
Oh, fuck, it was totally him in Attack the Block, too. Yeah,
that's where he came from.
Moses. Yeah, jeez.
That's where he came from.
Yeah. Oh, Moses is going places.
Yeah. It's impossible. Like, the whole cast unknowns thing, if you're like in
only
a, in
works
a,
for that
only
one
works
movie.
Once
yeah
only works once man
yeah.
You can't not be huge after so that's fucking cool. I
Hayden
like that
Christensen didn't get huge
no because it was
He got smaller.
Well, the prequel movies didn't launch anyone's careers.
No.
In fact, they killed quite a few.
Natalie Portman said it really damaged my career greatly.
Yeah, and Count Dooku was like, I need to go back to being a vampire or some shit, and then he died.
I'm a vampire, and?
Portman had to go do some creepy ballerina shit to get back on track.
Yeah.
And make out with Thor.
Just a little bit.
That's...
And then people
correct.
Then people will push her out of the way and say, no, Kat Dennings, sorry.
I can't hear you over Kat Dennings in this movie. Natalie Portman not being in Thor 3 is the best.
Just
more Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
Willie got... See, usually we
sorry,
would...
Sorry, I did sidetrack
usually we
you,
would
but...
continue, like, blah, blah, blahing with Liam as Willie, like, goes through the list.
Yeah, it's true.
That's fine, it's fine.
Hey, Willie, how do you keep all these in your head like that?
It's
really
crazy.
Well, I mean... Hey,
good mic. Job knocking over your mic stand. Hold on a second. I'll fix it for you.
Which way is the thing facing?
I'll fucking fix it. Just
okay.
Stay
right
there.
All
right. Bad.
Well, while you do that, we can talk about how the Batman Telltale series.
Ooh.
Batman.
Telltale series.
Batman, the Telltale series, is going to premiere this summer, and The Walking Dead Season 3.
Wait, premieres and come out?
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
And then The Walking Dead Season 3 will premiere this fall.
Okay.
So they're both coming this year.
I'm really interested in the Batman one because it's like that's
how awful.
How awful slash how could cool could that actually be?
All right, here's the deal. This is wild. I don't want to play as Batman in this game.
Yep.
I want to play as Alfred.
I want to play as literally anyone other than Batman,
yep.
But also not Robin or Batgirl. Like, that's kind of cheating.
No.
Now, of course, Paul Markey would say, yeah. That'll put butts in seats.
I want to play
Gordon.
As a beat cop.
Gordon.
Like, not necessarily Gordon, but Gordon's great too. But, like, a detective. Like, anyone that's normal.
If you're Gordon, you get the connection.
You know what's weird? That they did do that, what you're kind of asking, with all those weird, dumb Batman spinoff games like Gotham City Imposters, where you're not allowed to play as Batman, but just jobbers dressed up as Batman.
Yep.
But... That
Man,
was in
I,
kind
I,
of
I like
post.
This may be a
also
little harsh.
Also, the TV show Gotham.
This may be a little harsh, but I think that Gotham City Imposters' art and general premise is vile. It's been a while since I've been turned.
As someone who had to
turned
stare at it,
off by something so hard.
As someone who had to stare at it at work, I can concur.
It's like it's
way
amazing.
It's fucking ghetto. Like one of the only games I could ever look at and was like, I'd rather it just be a brown military shooter instead of this colorful, goofy thing.
Yeah, well,
fucking stupid.
But that's what you get when Paul Martin goes, well, then okay, you're not Batman. How about this?
You know what bums me out, man?
What?
The fact that I don't care about what Clementine is up to.
I don't really either.
That really, really bums me out.
I don't really. And you never even... Did you even beat Season 2?
Me?
Yeah.
I played them all, dude.
I don't remember you
it's
ever talking about it.
It's amazing.
Because what is there to say?
Yeah, that's true.
It's really amazing to me how the game has completely recreated the success of the TV show all the way down to the second season being
down
terrible.
Down to the second season. And the drop-off and the, these characters that I once cared for. Meh.
Maybe like in season 3 of Walking Dead, where we get the dictatorship at the prison, we will get the Clementine dictatorship, where you have to lord over all the stupid survivors in a mall or some shit.
I wonder if they're too big to ever revisit Fables. I don't know.
They're too big.
Marvel is coming now to
that story did end in that thing. You could.
There were loose ends. There were loose ends.
Sure, but not enough.
But also the world of Fables.
When's my Watchmen text adventure game?
What else we got?
All right.
Could that,
you're thinking about it, aren't you?
That could work.
Yeah.
But it won't.
No.
No, it'd be really bad.
But it actually could.
It could. He plays Adrian.
I'm pretty sure that Watchmen was already given huge justice by the Willie-approved Watchmen The End Is Nigh beat-em-up games.
Say what you will, the lighting in that game is pretty.
Yeah, the lighting in it is great. Awesome.
There's venom just shooting off your mouth there.
Dead Rising 4 poster and gameplay image is potentially leaked.
Fucking whoops.
Potentially, even though we're staring at it.
That looks super legit. I'm kind of sad that Capcom Vancouver has not been able to make one single goddamn thing outside Dead Rising.
I'm also really sad about that.
Like, it seems like that's a good group with, like, a good group, like, a good engine.
But that's the problem.
And, like, the games are getting worse every time.
Yeah. Can we crowdfund a bigger version of HD plus Ultra Super Turbo?
Yes. That was their best one.
Don't do this.
That was an arcade game for the home.
That is my favorite Dead Rising game.
You're right.
And my second favorite Dead Rising game is Case Zero.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to tell you?
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
That's the exact amount of Dead Rising I want in my life.
That being said, like, it has been a while, so whatever they have for Dead Rising 4, hopefully it's, you know, big, nice, polished thing. That's not as what Pat would call not at all an embarrassing slog. Yeah, that one boss fight, that was, like, so, where I was playing it, you're like, you suck at this, Matt. Then you play it, you're like, oh, wait, no, yeah, you suck, I guess. But also, this is one of the worst boss fights I've ever done. Anyway.
So another Capcom news, and this is something that is like, we hate to get into dumb fucking like.
No, we don't.
But no, like actual barely news personal things that like happen to people and stuff in this way.
No, we don't.
But this is related in general. The whole Noel Brown thing. What? Did you catch this?
No. Yes.
Okay. So Noel Brown.
So okay, before you continue. Let's reiterate that last week, Capcom put out a statement asking that the FGC at its events please refrain from assorted thuggery. Yeah.
Thuggery no longer allowed.
Okay, in now the I FGC. Know what.
So that's the context that I wanted.
My no thuggery shirt is already on the way.
And we were like, man, but the FGC needs thuggery.
The FGC's been thuggery, right?
And then
they got that thug in love. But yeah, so you got so and for backstory, I guess you know is Noel Brown's a top player that like Justin Wong's best friend basically,
yeah.
And he's dude. He bopped me at a Marvel tournament a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a top player for a while, and like he tends to get in the news over really bad things.
If you Google Noel Brown, you get some like. Employment damaging results.
The thing though is that there's almost always another side of the story when you get into it, and it's all but it's like it doesn't
not
matter
when it centers
in the long
around
run.
You several times.
Yeah. So the first one is like Noel Brown bionic arms a dude at a tournament
for nothing.
But what turns out to be because his dead mom was being insulted.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Something along those lines.
You still don't attack people.
That's you know
bit,
that's
like,
it right yeah, you know and like other things where it's like.
Allegations of domestic abuse.
Fighting with person that might have been cheating and then she got in the way or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's like that's not what that's not up to us or anyone that is
that's
actually
up for
not
a court
there.
If
that's
particular.
Up to,
but
exactly.
Like, that's still considering the first event. That second event takes on a different tone.
Unfortunately.
Right? And then the third event being like just grab ass and randos on camera.
So that's what the story becomes.
It's about, yes.
And then behind the scenes, quote unquote, it's not a rando. It's a friend. It's a girlfriend of a friend of his. And he did it because the day before she did it to him.
Yeah.
So haha, we were playing a game.
It's like,
but. What happens is you're on camera at a tournament and you grab ass and Capcom
and the person looks back at you and like in like what is clearly
shock
like
and laughter,
what the fuck
and then like you get
and then they walk like
so then the cap cops step in and then Noel's banned from CPT
on the basest level I'm gonna remove all intent all effect all like whatever. How could you be so fucking stupid as to think that the camera just turns off as soon as the guy walks off stage?
And Capcom just put out a thing saying,
"Just put out
don't
a statement.
Thug butt."
So, So straight up, it's like, time to make an example because we just put the rules out.
Yeah. And this is a legitimate scandal.
Beheaded, basically, alive, like fucking...
Banned from everything, basically.
Game of Thrones style. So banned from CPT, dropped by sponsors, and banned from Evo as well.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Like, even going or participating?
I don't think you can stop someone from showing up, from participating.
But from participating, the best you can probably do, you know. I mean, well, then you can keep someone off your event grounds if you want.
Yeah. This was inevitable, and regardless of, like, I don't mean with Noel Brown particularly. Okay. No, I mean that somebody was going to get crucified for something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that,
like,
they,
you know, if they let...
They got to show their series.
If they let Eris back in the building, I'm sure he'd be the one fucking left for... Right? Someone was going to get crucified, and when you look at the situation, regardless of whether or not this man is an actual piece of shit or just a hilarious
jokester,
unfortunate circumstance person, right? Just like everything just happens to go wrong. Like when you look at the when you Google this man's name and you like, oh, there's a scandal. Okay, Capcom man. Well, who is this guy?
That's
attacks people at FGC. Allegations of domestic abuse.
There's three scandals.
It's like, well. This is the easiest decision I've ever made as PR man or whatever.
And it's just, and then you go and it's like the pushback is like by like leaking texts and things. And so that's why I'm just like, it's personal.
Oh,
it's people's personal lives. And it's not worth really podcast discussion. But it's just like, this is one of those things where you're like, God damn, man.
This ranges from unfortunate to understandable on Capcom's part to totally justified and good riddance, right? Like, that's the scale you're dealing with.
You're gonna get martyred, dude. You're gonna get martyred. Like, there's no way that wasn't gonna happen.
And you had multiple chances to not get martyred by not having scandals and attacking people. Like, the other one, like, the one where he grabs the girl's butt, like, that's bad, and it can be explained away if everybody talks about it or whatever. But,
apparently they had pizza then.
Whatever, right? And maybe he's just an asshole, but everyone's like, oh, you're an asshole. Like, whatever. Everybody has their different relationships with their friends or what have you, right? And maybe those allegations of domestic abuse were completely manufactured, or maybe they're not. Who knows? Like, that's bad, right? That's a really fucking bad one, though. But nothing's going to undo the footage of you attacking a guy at an event. You're never going to wipe that one off your fucking history.
Yeah.
And, like, even aside from everything, like, if that's there, like, eventually that's going to, like, get them there. When they try and just clean it up, it's like, who is responsible for crimes? Who talks about doing crimes on stream?
Yeah, well, that's...
who's high right now?
I mean, that's the thing. Is like that's why it's like, you know, like, it's like, you know, dead mom in the situation, that doesn't make it...
Makes it understandable. But not excusable.
But not okay, you know? Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's like fucking Tommy Wiseau coming into Evo just saying straight to the camera, I did not hit her. I did not.
Like, oh, was that a thing?
Well, that's from the room.
Okay.
But who walks into an area and proclaims, I did not do that crime in front of a camera?
I never stole nothing from that bank.
Yeah.
Exactly. Never.
So, yeah, Cap Cops are serious.
Also, the timing of, like, immediately after they put that fucking statement out, like, this cannot be tolerated within that. Because if they did nothing or if they gave him a warning, they would, that whole scene would look like a fucking joke from, like, a moderation perspective.
No, of course. And without, like, elaborating, there's, like, definitely, like, backroom talks that occur.
Well, of course.
And then an act is made.
Yeah, I imagine they went to the FGC Don or whoever the fuck and said,
Don.
We really want to crucify this guy. And they're like, you know what?
Okay.
Better him than this other guy. Noel Brown isn't putting butts in seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daigo's working for Twitch, though.
And you know what? You know what? Just like Daigo helps old people get into bed.
Yeah.
And Noel, like, punches him out.
That man, like you know, there's your sports heroes or whatever, and you're always terrified, like, uh-oh, what if you find out they beat their significant other, or they're a fucking freakazoid, or they fuck dogs or something.
He works with the elderly.
Yeah. Like, he's free and clear forever. He could kill 100 people. I don't even care.
Or like
taking care of old people is a noble cause.
That low tier god versus Viscant thing. And Viscant, it's so good. And I was like, dude, I care.
I'm a charity worker.
Like, straight. You have
what do you do in your spare time, low tier god?
You have less than nothing.
You talk shit on the internet.
Wow, no one's ever done that.
What a new technique. Low tier god. He picks fucking top tier. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Dude, it's the best. Best gimmick. All you need is to understand the way the FGC proper feels is you have to go back, watch that clip, and watch K Brad's face as he's cheering on low tier god's bullshit. And he's just like, yeah. He's hype manning it because that's what you have to do. Because it's you have to buy in. It's the best. That's Capcom.
Yep.
But there's other new announcements.
Well, there is an Overwatch thing that has to do with moderation. Do you have that on the docket?
No.
Because I would love to talk about it.
No.
So there's a PC Gamer article called Overwatch Cheaters Are Having a Hard Time. And before the game came out, Blizzard announced, hey, by the way, guys, we are going to ban you if we find you cheating.
Yeah.
We
talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you're talking about the update.
I'm talking about the update.
I did catch
like,
this.
We're not going to pussyfoot around. No warnings.
Yeah, it's a solid.
So Overwatch has come out and has been out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And boy, are they serious about this shit. They are banning people down to their hardware IDs.
You
there is no
cannot make a new account,
yeah, it's
or
like, it's like permadeath
IP change Overwatch. Or anything
there,
and get back
there
on.
Was a guy who bought a new copy and then went in, changed his MAC address, his BIOS mm-hmm. start date, mm-hmm. his IP.
No, like, I will cheat. I don't care. Cheating will happen.
He went through a VPN. And, like, within a day, the servers figured it out and reban him again.
God damn it.
You can't
and it's like
stop
the,
me.
The amount
can't
of,
stop the cheating.
The amount of work that goes into this is so absurd.
No. Fuck you.
It's the only way for him to get off is the only motivation I can see. Like, oh, I'm gonna cheat. Like, what? What?
I will buy a new rig.
It is the only way to get around it is a new piece of hardware in your machine, which is like
also
far beyond
also
like feasible.
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a new IP.
Oh,
address.
I'll move. If I can cheat, I will move.
Become someone else.
I will
it's
steal
like,
an identity.
It's like, did you hear, so you hear about cheat. That that massive wave of Counter-Strike bans that went over off on Valve?
No.
And they got like thousands and thousands of people. I'm stealing this from a Giant Bomb cast from a couple weeks ago. So William, I'm surprised you haven't heard it. But basically, the creator of this very popular aimbot that had never been able to be tracked down or cracked or what have you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
He
okay.
accidentally let like his GitHub fucking account
yes,
lapse.
Yes, yes,
and
yes,
it
yes.
turned the account public.
Public.
And somebody sent the source code for the fucking thing over to Valve, and then they put it into their machine.
And that's how they found it.
And just got
everybody,
including some people that had like tens of thousands of dollars worth of hats. In
yeah,
their
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
dude.
Man.
They fucking wiped it
just
clean.
Like. Cheaters losing money on games like makes me so happy.
That's divine.
It's
divine. Yeah. No, that's like tongue hanging out of my mouth. Like
it's,
it's so
you're,
delicious.
Oh, you're using like I want like a PS4 or an Xbox to have like some form of hardware detection that's like, oh, you're using a lag switch, and then it like melts part of the motherboard and just dies.
Yeah. No. Like so you get no rights. You get nothing. You lose good days.
Like, not only are
and
gone from my experience, you are out of pocket significantly in some cases.
And in many cases, you're signing a EULA that explicitly states that
all your shit is void if you cheat, motherfucker.
There's a certain nobility, though, in wanting to cheat so bad. It's the mentality of, I'll cheat, I'll die, I'll cheat again.
Right, right.
Well, the game's no fun unless I'm cheating. I mean, why would you even play video games?
What is banned may never be banned again.
they dunk him into this cheat water.
The band god.
The band.
We worship the band god.
What may cheat may never cheat again. What did you say?
What is banned may never be banned again. So yeah.
We're from the cheating islands.
Right? Yeah.
We're the great cheats. The it's cheat just joints.
A nobility to their cheating.
Our noble house.
Fucking love cheating.
Love it. I can't get enough.
Oh, man.
I look for the new cheats every day.
Oh, God. Okay.
And if you, like, you get, like, in an arranged marriage, and they're like, you better cheat on her.
No.
You have to uphold our tradition.
If you're not cheating, you're losing.
Yeah.
So we got the Infinite Warfare is not doing great in terms of press and pre-order.
Yes.
What's Infinite Warfare?
Call of Duty.
Oh. What's that?
Yeah, I know.
Man, you know what they should really do?
Overwatch?
I'm stealing a joke from a friend of mine, but he said they should make a Fishman skin for Soldier 76 and call him Codman.
Oh. Oh,
it's super good. Shut up.
That's fine. That's fine. So yeah, basically, it's not looking great because for the first time ever, the pre-orders are at an all-time low. And how low, you ask? 33,000 copies on PS4 and 31,000 on Xbox One.
Right. What?
And
wait, no.
Where are you getting that data?
Let me pull it up for
VG
you.
Charts?
No, but yeah,
The Escapist.
Oh, that's okay. That's probably real.
Okay.
I kind of don't
where
believe
are they
that.
Pulling so, that data.
Okay, so we've got yeah, and that's in comparison to Black Ops 3, which was of course 287 for PS4 K and 423K for Xbox One.
Could that Battlefield trailer, like, beating its ass in the likes
not
just,
so
like,
much,
actually be indicative of, like, a greater trend?
Infinite Warfare's debut was before that, right?
Yeah, but they were very, very close.
These
together.
Are the pre-order numbers.
They were very close, but remember the Call of Duty trailer was, like, the most disliked trailer in, like, whatever
yeah, but that was, it became that after the Battlefield 1.
Oh, yeah,
1
okay,
right.
Okay.
And the Battlefield 1 trailer is the most liked video. In
really?
Yes.
What is all this?
More
1.8 million.
More than Star Wars Episode 7.
That's
yeah.
weird.
Okay.
So that's the thing.
Hey,
like,
World War One is cool, man.
The seesaw, like, it was bad before, but when that happened, the seesaw shot so hard the opposite way that, like, people went back to that trailer and disliked it. In order to like the Battlefield 1.
Okay.
It's like arguing with a guy on Reddit and you go to all of his fucking posts and just downvote him. But in Call of Duty land.
Now, if Blizzard would want to fire back, they would release the official porn of Overwatch trailer.
Oh, it's, they're shutting everything down because they're making an official art book.
That's what we assume.
It has to be the case,
yeah,
after all.
No.
You know, you got to protect your copyrights.
You got to protect your copyrights. Over porn.
Yeah. And they're doing a really bad job of getting that porn.
Porn watch. Yeah. I'm not having any problems getting it.
I mean, what can you, it's like the first trailer, the first thing we ever saw of the game was like these two kids wandering through a museum. It's like they set and told us who they're aiming for right there.
No, they did not.
And the world is like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I got asses to watch.
Have you played as Torbjorn on a team with a widow and run out of spawn behind
oh,
her?
Oh, God. I can
her
only imagine.
Her asshole is like slapping you in the fucking face.
I can only imagine.
Like, they were jerking off while they were modeling that.
Nothing escapes my asshole.
That's like a Zarya quote because of the suction.
Sure.
I will break
nothing
you.
Nothing escapes my sight.
Okay.
Because
of the suction.
Because of the suction.
Welcome to your new Overwatch character. It's a sniper named Rosebud.
What else we got?
We got the Agents of Mayhem official cinematic announcement trailer.
Wow, what a useless trailer.
No gameplay in sight.
Okay, moving on.
But
but why does that woman in the Saints Row headquarters? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's don't in the, know. She's the head of the Saints in this trailer. What is this game?
I don't know. But I hope the art style looks like that.
I hope it does look like Overwatch.
Because you know what? Because
it does.
There's going to be a lot of fucking games.
Here's the thing, right? Also, Fuse before Fuse.
Yeah.
Right?
Overstrike looks so much like Overwatch. Like, when you go back, it's really nuts.
But that's the thing, is even that was not a gameplay trailer, but everyone was still like, yeah, okay, this looks fun.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what I'm saying here. Agents of Mayhem, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to get something that keeps up to this.
Then it'll turn into Fuse.
Then it'll turn into Fuse.
I like Volition a lot, and I was watching this. So I was like, I look at these characters, I'm like, wow, these. It sucks, because it's like, you look at it, you're like, all these characters are real shit compared to the army of waifus and husband, like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
when you have this art style, it's like you have to be better.
But we don't even know what the genre is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, like, I don't even want to make a direct comparison right away.
It looks like,
man, look at this sick pixel art of Pharah.
Yeah, I just retweeted that, literally.
That's really pretty.
It's fucking dope. Wait, is that you that retweeted that?
I just retweeted
it. Is that why that's on my Matt McHagger? I'm going to retweet it.
There you go.
And lastly, we can get into it, but we don't have to, because we're going to have enough to say, definitely.
Is it about Overwatch?
The lineups. It's about the E3 lineups that are...
Man, if people get sick of the fighting game talk, Overwatch talk is going to get fucking real bad.
It's going to get bad.
So every week when we're like, what's on the watch? It's just like, what's on the Overwatch?
Underlook.
Yeah. No, we did.
Fuck the red team.
Fuck them.
You come out.
But wait, Reaper, don't you hate Overwatch?
Oh, yeah, I totally hate Overwatch.
But I hate the red team more.
I hate losing more. Yeah, that's
I'm a virgin because I never lost.
Yeah, that's the good one. That's the good one. I like that one a lot.
That's why Reaper's amazing.
Yes, that's when you sell the Edgelord idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I want my Doomfist so bad.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? And Sombra. And you go back through that old concept art, man. There are like 15 characters that did not make it into this game that are all
A+. I mean, they're all right there.
Yeah, they're like... But Doomfist seems like the most obvious one.
Athena as well. Just
Athena's there and Sombra.
I haven't looked at any of these. I gotta see them.
They all look fucking awesome.
It's like in the trailer, like where you just see all the artworks then of them standing
there. I
hope they
release like a big art book of Overwatch.
Oh, God.
Sombra seems like it'll be the most obvious pick because like her gameplay is also known. It's
yeah.
She's a support sniper.
There's also the movie star from the posters there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the cool VR glasses and the mech. Mm-hmm. And she's basically looking like not quite D.Va, but anyway, whatever.
Wait, are you serious? That's D.Va in those posters. In the Hollywood level?
But she has different...
That's D.Va, dude.
Okay.
D.Va's a programmer turned everything.
The mech that's standing next to her looks like a Pat LeBur mech.
Yeah, but it can be different.
She's
a multimedia star.
It can be.
Lucio is... Lucio is the
famous musician. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I thought that his hockey skins were just for visual variety.
Then
in a goddamn map, I heard him talking about how he likes hockey. Now I'm on board with you, Wooly. A fucking Brazilian black guy that's in a hockey. Fuck off. There's no ice in that country. There is no ice in that country. That is absurd. That's fucking dumb.
Time to break it down.
The Ubisoft E3 lineup is as follows.
Okay.
A bunch of lies. Did you see that fucking Ubisoft downgrade video?
I clicked on it, and I was like, I don't care.
That thing is amazing.
I started to watch it, and then it's just a reminder of all the downgrades.
It's a breakdown of nearly every game Ubisoft has shown off in the past, like, 5 years, and what they came out and looked like. And, like, so the Rainbow Six Siege one is, like,
I clicked on it, and it's like, oh, time to get outraged. I was like, No, it's not time to get out.
It's fascinating.
I just closed it.
It's totally fascinating. It's the video game equivalent of looking at the McDonald's menu, like, photo of a fucking Big Mac, and then looking at your own Big Mac and remembering all the times they fooled you with shitty-looking Big Macs.
But like, you know, food, if you eat it, it'll taste just as good as the food in the picture because the food in the picture doesn't really exist. Whereas, like, for a game, it's like...
Yeah, like Watch Dogs?
Well, Watch Dogs is like, the case, but like Rainbow Six Siege, like I know a bunch of people that play it. They're like, it's a fantastic
game. Yeah, they're all hassling me to play it, and I was like, no.
Yeah, well, I don't care about it, but like everyone's like, it plays good, but
funny farts kept trying to bunny fart all over me.
Yeah.
Eagle Flight, the VR demo.
Yeah.
For Honor on everything.
Yeah. I always forget that For Honor exists.
For Honor was a lot of fun when we played it.
That's crazy. I think about For Honor every couple days.
Yeah, you're just like, man, For Honor's going to show up, and that'll be my other weird multiplayer Melee game.
I'm really, like, if there was another Melee class in Overwatch,
I burned out on Chivalry, and like For Honor is going to scratch that identical itch of just like fucking mean-ass, grungy, European garbage combat.
Yeah. Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Oh, yeah.
And South Park, The Fractured But Whole.
Yeah. Somebody's been playing Dark Souls.
Just got it. God. Souls like fucking South Park?
It's actually the game involving the superhero or alternate personas.
Yeah. Is it written by Obsidian?
I'm assuming so.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm glad, like, you know, I watched that video about, like, a canceled South Park game that was basically GTA that N64 put out. And I'm like, it would be really awesome if the South Park game existed when South Park was, like, the hottest thing in the world. It's still, like, good or whatever.
It's still quite good and popular, but it's not, like, the fucking zeitgeist super show that it
was.
But
I'm glad that, like, it took, like, I don't know, 20 years for it to get an actual good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never really gave that N64 game the time of day.
It's because it's trash?
Yeah. Well, so every subsequent South Park game is, so.
Yeah.
And as far as the Treehouse goes, of course, we know that the Zelda is going to be the main.
Really?
Star.
I didn't hear about this.
Are you serious? They're going to show Zelda at E3?
But there's going to be the first live gameplay of Sun and Moon Pokemon, and Monster Hunter Generations, DQ7, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE.
Well, it should be. It comes out like a few weeks after that. They got to promote it sometime.
And Q&A with the developers of Pokemon Go.
Hey, guys developing Pokemon Go, yes. What's the NX like? Next question, please. What's the real name of the NX going to be?
If you have questions for the developers of Pokemon Go, you can send them in. Where?
To superbestfriendcast@gmail.com?
Yeah, that's about right.
I'm not sure.
I thought we were going through E3 lineups.
Yeah, no. You just had the Ubisoft one.
Oh, okay.
Those are the two that are out right
now. I thought there was like a bunch of them.
Nah, it's still like over a week away.
No, I don't.
That's what we got. And then next week we're probably going to do
talk about more, others that come.
And then that'll be that.
Okay.
What's the email sound like this week?
Oh, I slept like shit, man. Some government lady called me on the phone this morning at 8:30.
And you threatened to hit her.
I went, no. No. No one from the government. Jeez, you can't do that. You'll get in trouble.
You threatened to hit mailman.
Mailman?
Yeah.
No. The bell guy.
Bell guy. He works for the government.
I didn't threaten to hit him. I implied that I might. There's a difference. That's not an overt threat. It's an implied threat. There's a very different tone to that.
You casually held your bat in your hand.
Whoa, this bat I have in my hand.
Wait, that didn't happen. That was a fantasy that I talked to you guys about on the podcast. I didn't hold the bat in my hand.
Yeah.
I just thought about doing
it. We'll have to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
No one would cry if a Bell fucking employee just got beat to death with a bat.
And no one did.
Not even them. They'd be like, yeah, I had this coming. How are you? Are you satisfied with the beatdown you're giving me, sir? Would you like to switch to an aluminum bat?
Yeah. His last words were, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Dear Ultra Optimum Allies, what's your favorite piece of video game lore that is never mentioned in game from Luke?
Almost all Overwatch lore.
So the example he gives to kickstart things is in Star Fox 64, Venom's nuclear base satellite, Bulse, is actually Bulse 2. The first Bulse defense satellite orbited Corneria, but when it malfunctioned, it was sent into space away from Corneria. The nuclear meltdown contaminated a sector of space with a radioactive fallout resulting in a green Y-shaped nebula. In other words, Sector Y was created when the first Bulse blew up, which is why Sector Y is next to Corneria. This is from a strategy guide for Star Fox 64.
That's pretty good.
Cool. I talked about when I played it, but like all the well, that's difficult because it's talked about in-game somewhat, but the collectible cards you get at the end of Noble Heroes, which you need to play New Game Plus to get them, tells you all that interesting shit about characters like Naomi's actually 85 years old. Henry's real name is Henry Cooldown, which you do not know if you just played the game the first time.
I thought it was Sir Henry Motherfucker.
I thought it was Sir Henry Motherfucker as well. There's stuff like that, but this is like, this is floating around in all our memory banks.
Yeah. I think for me, I know there's cooler, but the one that I can recall right now is the fact that Nero is Virgil's son. Mm-hmm. And the fact that what happened to him in those woods or whatever was effectively just he was put under enough stress that he DT'd mm-hmm. one of his arms, but only his arm.
But permanently. Right.
So that the idea that you can permanently DT
a part of your body
is fucked but cool. Yeah. These are things that you don't get.
Man, I don't know. This is I'm sorry. I have no answer for your question. Every single thing in Dark Souls, like I don't know. That's tough.
It's a tough one because I know there's good ones out there.
I'll make a lot of distinctions between like in-game lore and out-game lore. It's all lore, man.
But there's always stuff where it's like you find out afterwards that this was what
there's
was.
There's
like,
tons of Street Fighter
and it's
stuff.
Like, oh my god, it twists everything.
There's tons of Street Fighter stuff.
Yeah,
that's canon.
The fact that fucking Satsui no Hado, Ryu is a shit. And Sagat's the most honorable, cool guy ever.
That's the one.
And he was helping Ryu up, and then Ryu fucking shurikened him as a cheap shot.
Hugo's the only living guy never to get knocked out by the Shin Shuriken.
Yeah. Ryu was on the magic pixel.
Oh, man. Was a good
and
thing,
Sagat
thing
held his hands out and fucking ate it.
I don't know if this counts, but in FF14, there was a cutscene in 2.55 in which a dragon took away all your powers, and everything he said sounded like nonsense, and no one could figure out what the fuck he was talking about all the way through the expansion, and it was like the crux of the plot. And then you go and read a better translated version of the Japanese thing, and it's like, oh, all of this was happening? And I had no idea because whoever localized it wanted to get all flowery and shit. I don't know if that counts. But the real meaning in English only exists outside the game.
Huh.
Fair enough. You caught us on the spot. It's hard to think of things like that sometimes. We got another one coming in from... okay, well, I'll get to it after. Dear Mike, Larry, Wally, and Pate, you're all fans of anime, so what's your favorite
anime
translation error / bad fan sub? For context, many years ago, I bought a genuine DVD box set of the Japanese dub of Sonic X. At the time, I didn't realize they were shockingly fake. And what tipped me off was the fact that the subtitles kept referring to Tails and Knuckles as Dillus and Knackruz.
Knackruz is cool.
Knackruz.
That's awesome.
So I was taught a lesson that day. Please tell me you've suffered a similar trauma. Yours faithfully, Knackruz Zaichidna.
Ah, that's good. A friend got a gift from a friend of theirs. We watched a bad Chinese rip of the entirety of Cowboy Bebop, and throughout Cowboy Bebop or the first couple episodes, get to the Mars,
yeah.
and Spook get to the Mars,
yeah,
because they put a U instead of an I in Spike. So the line "Spook, get to the Mars," I remember for quite a while.
There's always the classics, like people die when they are killed.
I always forget about it.
And all according to Keikaku. Keikaku means plan. And it's not technically an anime, but by far my favorite ever is literally every line of dialogue from Star Wars The Third Gathers, the backstroke of the West. My favorite one is the translation error of turning the word Jedi into Presbyterian Church.
Yeah.
And at the end when Darth Vader goes, no, instead it is do not want.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do not want.
That's where that came from.
Yeah, that's where it came from. For me, I think...
People die when they're killed, man.
Yeah, I didn't know.
The one I bring up a lot whenever we talk about this stuff is just the old fucking Escaflowne first episode when Vargas is turned into ball gas. Because V's and G's are
and L's,
hard.
There it's all.
They're hard, guys.
This is ball gas.
Ball gas.
I have so much ball gas.
It's a problem. You should get someone to take a look at that.
Balls are quite gassy.
You gotta get someone to
Air them out.
Got them dick farts.
Yeah. Good old dick farts.
Good old dick farts.
Yep.
All right. There's more than that, but like,
no.
Yeah, I think that's where we can we'll move on.
Okay. So it's the fucking guy who's got his hand up and he looks so serious. He's like, people die when they are killed.
Someone tried to start explaining that to me about
no,
why
I
it
don't
was
want
fine.
It.
I was like,
I
shut up.
Don't want it.
Leave it.
Leave it.
Let it be. It's beautiful the way it is.
Let it sit. Take a photo of it.
Right. Okay. We got one coming from Anthony, and he wants to know. Yeah, who's your favorite voice actor?
My favorite voice actor.
His or Aaron Fitzgerald. That's a good one. And Steve Bloom. That's a good one, too.
I you know, it was mostly just because I know the Heroes won so much. But then when all of his other roles were kind of revealed and the amount is Robin Atkins Downs in Kazuhiro mm-hmm. Miller.
Kaz. Good
and,
old
Kaz. Lots, like tons. Like, I didn't realize how much. And he was, of course, the prince and warrior within.
Mm-hmm.
I forget
mm-hmm,
that. And mm-hmm. He just it sounds exactly like. Like Miller and that. He's really, like, I really enjoy him. And plus, he's one of those voice actors that if you, like, doesn't follow me or anything, but I just asked him something once and he totally happy to respond. He's like, yeah, I do voice that H.P. Lovecraft documentary.
Oh, yes. Right. There you go. There you go.
And of course, what's Femme Shep?
Jennifer Hale.
Jennifer Hale's Jennifer a big Hale. One.
Test. My favorite is Takahata.
Shut your fucking liar mouth.
Who's your actual favorite?
We're talking about real voice actors.
I think.
Here.
I think. Oh wow, motherfucker! God damn.
You, remember, you remember, Takahata can face you down at Con Bravo. This
I know.
Year.
I know.
He can, and he will.
He will. Because
he's listening to this as he's running on a treadmill right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting.
He's, beefing hard.
Getting fit while I become a ginger ball.
Yeah.
The only way to defeat it is to soften up even more.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Start eating right
I
now.
I don't know, but you.
Start eating
I don't know
now.
If you can tell, but I'm pretty soft
getting,
over here.
Gotta get more doughy.
Well,
it's the only armor.
I'm like an uncooked bagel over here.
I mean, you know, everyone knows that, like, I'll go off on a Norio Wakamoto thing for Japan.
Every time.
But,
yeah. But your actual favorite is the Dobson brothers.
In English, Paul. Specifically
really,
Paul.
Really, with Paul?
Specifically Paul.
All right, the wrong choice, but sure.
No, because Paul, to me, is Matrix, and Paul is Graveheart.
Yeah.
And, true. Like, those two roles. Plus, you know, I'll take Jammin'.
Really, Jammin' too?
I'll take Jammin'. Well, isn't that Paul Dobson as well?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I hope you okay. like Jammin'
I'll,
too.
Yeah.
I'll take it, man. He's got the right like. That's the ASMR that I'd get into.
Oh, really?
If I would get into ASMR,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't choose that, man. It chooses you.
I know.
For me, it's Jen Hale by a mile. Like, there's no comparison. I could listen to her voice forever. You know how we make fun of, like, Steve Bloom and Nolan North and that other guy, Troy Baker, because they're in everything? And yeah. We're like, oh, look, it's Steve Bloom again. Every time I can hear Jen Hale's voice come out of a character, I'm excited. Like, I'm like, yay, I get to listen to Jen Hale.
Yeah.
She just has the best voice ever. And my number two would be Michael Bell.
Yeah. Okay, Michael Bell.
He's Raziel in the Legacy of Kain games.
Okay. And
he's the Fear in Metal Gear Solid 3. He's a million other characters. Mm-hmm, he's mm-hmm. even in. He's an actor as Zorn in Encounter at Farpoint in fucking Star Trek TNG episode
oh,
one.
Wow,
he's that guy.
Shit.
That fucking god slave guy who's like, oh, I'm gonna take care of the alien. He's great.
On a side note, like I never thought I'd be in this living in this world of. Fighting games with English sound effects coming out.
It's weird.
But I fucking love it. Like, all the, like, in Street Fighter and in Guilty Gear and in Skullgirls. Like,
not
all the,
in King of Fighters, though.
No. No.
No.
But in all the other games, all, like the fact that I'm just like, it's like the English barks work.
Yeah.
And they're quotable and they're fun.
Yep.
And we're getting some of that in Overwatch now.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're talking about how cool like it is to just listen to Zenyatta say anything.
Oh, he's, dude.
Love the way he
Zenyatta
talks.
Zenyatta is the best design. He is
step
the
into the
best.
Embrace tranquility.
And his fucking play of the game animations are the best
Oh,
ones.
My God. Yeah, yeah. You earned it. You fucking earned it.
Oh, my God. They're the best.
Like, you are just a god, man. Amazing. So that's all fun stuff. They're super best clods. Wilson wants to
Quads.
Know.
Hey, can I see his face over the fence?
Timely.
Not that Wilson.
Oh, how's the blood on your volleyball?
Yeah.
Wow. Like that's that was, yeah.
I can't believe you went there. That's
also awesome. Where else could I have gone? I don't have any other Wilsons.
I've been reading Marvel's 2014 run of Moon Knight, really good, and I've been inspired by their amazing illustrations. I've been busting out my Wacom tablet to practice my drawings. What's your medium of choice? Traditional or electronic is fair game.
I'm out.
Okay. Well, I when I was drawing, like, yeah, I had a tablet, and I was pretty much basically doing all digital, and just because it was, like, quicker, and it was just less strain on your hands and stuff, like, I used to draw all the time with crayons and pencils, colored pencils a lot, and I did a lot of painting with acrylic, and acrylic fucking sucks. I hate acrylic. Just nasty, and just dries all gross and whatever, and I was never able to work it very well. But yeah, I basically like threw that all aside for just digital on, like, yeah, Wacom tablet.
Tablet. So, yeah. I learned the fun way that Scratchboard is my favorite.
Oh, Scratchboard's really fun.
Scratchboard is the funnest fucking medium.
Because it makes you look better than you actually
are. It makes you look so good. And here's the thing about it. But it's not just that. It also taught me something too about, like,
shadows.
The way I paint and stuff. Well, when I was messing around and stuff like that, it would be like my brain thinks better in negative than it does in positive.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I can subtract from a black surface better than I can add to it to build up something that looks realistic.
For those that are aware, Scratchboard is like a black, like, kind of panel.
Yeah.
And you
There's dried India ink all over it.
And you kind of scratch away at the blackness, and you, like, reveal that it's white. So you want to do, like, shadowy portraits of people.
Negatives.
Really play with shadow and light.
Exactly.
And, like, it makes you look better than you are.
You sculpt out out of the darkness instead of adding.
Sculpt out of the darkness.
Instead of throwing something into the light.
I forgot about Scratchboard.
It's so
Thanks
fun.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
So, yeah, that's what it would be for me.
Good stuff.
We got one coming in from Akuta Bar. And Akuta Bar wants to know...
Yes.
Yeah, she was the one that was super correct in calling us out on the WoW going for a free to play thing.
Oh, right.
Oh yeah, right.
And she wants to know: is there anything you've backed that you regret or has most met your expectations?
Most?
I think we all
How did the Kickstarters you back go is the question.
Yeah, because I think, like, we all know and love Shovel Knight and have talked about how great that is. So, like, that's kind of an obvious thing. But, like, is there anything that you regret backing?
So right away, I have to say I violently regret backing Mighty No. 9. Not because of the final quality of the game, because it's not out yet, and that's unfair, but it would have saved me from being involved tangentially in this, like, year and a half of drama.
Yeah.
I would have been able to just go, well, I didn't fucking involve myself with that, not my problem. But instead, I am kind of at fault for whatever happens because I put money into it.
So the context was that going back to after those podcasts where we talked about WoW going free to play, we were currently in the, if you don't back Mighty No. 9 right now, you're an idiot era that we went through. And she says, it's still too soon to judge, but at the time Pat described the Kickstarter as exploding, and everyone was super enthusiastic about Ghost Song, that's still not out yet.
I think I was accurate in say that Kickstarter was exploding, because it absolutely got bigger after that point.
Are there standards you apply to pitches that you didn't earlier on?
Absolutely. And it's mainly the standards that Kickstarter now forces you to apply.
That's true. Kickstarter did it for us in some
ways.
It's like, actually,
you need to have some kind of prototype something. Depends. Obsidian could literally do a Kickstarter tomorrow with Josh Sawyer standing in front of a camera going, hey, man, we really want to make another RPG. We're good for it. And I'd be like, yeah, you guys are good for it.
Same thing for Yacht Club.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yacht Club could just fart into a mic.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm a legendary
backer. For most others, I'm more skeptical. Like, Pillars turned out great. The Shadowrun backing that turned out great. I don't know about Planescape. That seems a little iffier, but hopefully it goes well. Project Phoenix and what's the other one? Fuck. The Matsuo one. No, that is Project... Whatever, those two Japanese JRPGs that both Liam and I backed that appeared to never going to come out.
I thought the Matsuo one was Project Phoenix.
No, it's a different
whatever.
Unsung Story is the other one.
Oh, okay.
They're never going to come out. I'm really glad I didn't back the Ouya. I backed that goddamn Kingdom Come medieval war game, which... So far, all I've gotten out of it is a technical alpha that was astoundingly pretty, and they seem to be working on it, so hopefully that goes well. Mm. I put a lot of money into that Dark Souls board game, and that...
Which I did finally go read how it works.
That's a really cool idea. And so hopefully that doesn't turn to shit, but that's a lot safer,
Matt.
That one. It's a physical product. Like a litter box of some kind.
I'm glad that there's still...
After you murder the Lupman.
After I murder Lupman, yeah.
Email you showed us was so crazy.
Because everyone thought I was like really exaggerating it, but I was not.
Yeah.
It's still being worked on. They had a build of it not too long ago, about like a month ago, but like they're taking a lot longer to make Kaiju Combat than they should. I mean, I still get backer emails about that, and there's still, it's like, there's other Kickstarters I've had that have had nothing, like no updates about them. Like, some of them I even forget that
Unfortunately, yeah. I know what you mean.
So then you look at it, did I miss some updates? You know, maybe. That's the one that I personally put some money into. I'm like, it's being made. I played a build of it not too long ago, but like, I wish they would hurry it up because they have other projects that they're doing that were part of the Kickstarter thing, but I don't really regret that doing it, but I lament that it's pretty slow. What I do, like Pat said, I kind of the Mighty Number 9, even though I did play the beta a couple levels and I disliked it quite a bit, but I'll still reserve judgment for what it comes. But I really wish I hadn't put $125.
Yeah, I put something like it's at the point where even if the game comes out and is excellent, I would still regret backing it because the journey to get here is not worth whatever enjoyment I can derive out of this game.
Yeah. Something I really like putting money into. It's not a game per se, but it was an artist, Richard Leong, who made like this gigantic Cthulhu art book of all these various monsters, and I get a little figure with it, and I got the digital version as a reward in my email not too long ago, and it's incredible. I pored over it. Really want the physical book, and it's coming soon, so I'm glad I put some money into that. In terms of regret, I put $25 into Slain. Remember Slain?
I do
remember Slain.
It's fucking awful. And it reviewed terribly as well.
Bless you, Will.
It's like, remember we were like, oh yeah, like PlayStation 1. Like,
it looks really cool. It looked really cool.
It's fucking awful. Like it came out and I played it, and yikes. It's like, it's mostly negative reviews, and it's awful on a base standpoint. Like, it's not fun to play. Mm. And your character doesn't do much. Like, he slashes and has one magic attack. It's just bad to play. Like, it's the one I actually like having a finished product. It's like the opposite of Volgar the Barbarian, which is the first thing I ever kickstarted and then it came out. Yeah. Volgar, the Viking. And that game is awesome. I'd never beat it because it's so fucking hard.
Hey, Wooly.
But it's there.
This is a bit off topic, but would you like to know what the reviews look like from Mirror's Edge Catalyst?
I've seen them.
Okay.
Sevens and eights?
Six sevens and eights now. Actually,
it's not that
seems
bad.
Pretty split. You know what also had the exact same reviews like Gradient?
Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like identical.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess that's it for me off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think. Sure there's a bunch of fucking projects that I've forgotten about.
I think we got the overall on it though. You know,
mostly successes for me.
Okay.
We're still in development.
Here's one that Solomon's asking that is a summary of...
Cut that baby in half, motherfucker.
So a summary of the lots of questions like this
that
we get.
Is that King David instead?
I think it
might be. I kind of want to ask one to ask a couple hundred at the same time.
All right, let's hit it.
Okay, so Pat, if you had to choose between more birds or instant current savage clears, what would you choose?
More birds, no question.
What's your character in class right now?
My character in class is I'm a Dark Knight 60. I'm getting a warrior up to 60 as well. I have a dragoon at 60 and an astro at 60, but I 99% play the Dark Knight.
Okay. Matt, if you had to choose between a Punisher movie that was rated R and given the same love as Deadpool, or to be a sidekick in a B-list Punisher movie, what would you want?
for the movie to exist or for me to be in the movie?
To be a B-list sidekick or...
Yeah, you're micro. Do you want to be micro?
Because I don't want a Punisher movie anymore now that we're getting what it should get, which is a series.
Yeah.
So yep. I guess I'd opt for the sidekick role.
Okay. Yeah. That's.
But I actually don't really want
to. You and exactly. Shane Bernthal.
Bernthal.
John Bernthal.
Yeah. Wooly, if you either could have a third-person Mirror's Edge and see Faith with dyed hair and never use guns... Or give the Street Fighter IP to Platinum and watch it become a character action game. Which would you choose? Neither.
The first one. Yeah. Clearly, you were talking about that before we came in.
Between the two, which would you
have
prefer?
To pick one now.
I also have to.
If
pick
she has to dye her hair, I don't like that's. I think he's just fine.
I think he's just saying that because he thinks that's what you want.
Okay, yeah. Perhaps. Okay, but yeah. Street Fighter as a character action game sounds terrible. I'd never want that.
Yeah.
Not everything.
Or it's great for Virtual Quest.
And third person Mirror's Edge is cool, I guess, but like.
You have that. It's called the Assassin's Creed or whatever.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with the current state of affairs that is Catalyst in Street Fighter V, to be perfectly honest. So
and Genji,
yeah. But that it just to sort of like encapsulate like a whole bunch of like I think I figured you out.
Mm-hmm.
I would take more birds in a second. My group isn't even trying. Savage, we don't care.
Hey,
we
man,
want cosmetics.
Ben says it's currently 25 degrees Celsius in jolly old England. That's 77 degrees Fahrenheit for those of you who use an inferior way to measure temperature.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
As temperatures go.
For them, it's super duper hot. So he's wondering about what your water gun arsenal used to be.
Oh.
And were you the squirter or the squirtee? Were you water warriors?
I used to have a lot of water gun wars. I had, like about 3 super soakers during my life. I had the Super Soaker 50, the classic, the yellow and green,
the old faithful.
And I got up to Super Soaker 100, mm-hmm. and that broke not too long. Had one summer's worth and broke. The one I preferred the most, which I forget what it was called, was a Super Soaker. I think it's called the Cross Shot, where it had a turning thing that let you shoot around corners.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
And it was just a little, like, a dial or something, like a hand grip. And you'd turn it, and it would show all the fun commercials where your sisters are trying to get some in an alley, and you're shooting them with fucking water. And they don't know who did it. Who could possibly shoot around a corner? That's fucking crazy.
My brother and I got in at the age of the XP Super Soakers. Shit, yeah. So like when they had the pressure.
It's when child's skin started searing off.
Yeah. When you got the pressure shooters.
It's the golden years.
Those were fucking sick, man. Because you just – like every time you'd leave and reload or whatever and then come back and stand on top and just be like, I've got you in my sights. and it would hurt if you had any friends that had the giant bazooka with that shot the sumo in the commercial there. It'd be ridiculous.
I also always wanted ever had the water pack.
Oh, the backpack.
Never fucking go out of ammo, motherfucker.
Get to be Vulcan Raven.
Sick. Yeah.
The problem and the thing that I quickly learned and bummed me out was just like there's a super short life on the fun of a water gun fight. Because
you only get so wet.
And then you're just wet and you're like, all right, well, fight's over, I guess.
I'm sopped here.
There's nothing else to it. Yeah, you know?
Hey, you know what's cool? Video games, water guns never used again after that point.
Until... paintball came along.
Yeah, I didn't do paintball as a kid, though.
Okay.
I didn't even have a...
I played a bunch of video games, but then it was like, hey, there's laser fighting. It's like cool because it's like a video game. I'm like, uh-huh.
Okay.
And then someone's like, paintball, and I was like, yeah.
Okay.
It kind of hurts.
So it took me a while to figure it out. I had the Super Soaker 1000, which is this one.
Oh, Rockefeller over here.
You remember this?
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
no. See, the reason why it was so hard for me to remember is because my friend Eric, who lived a couple blocks over... had the 2000.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember the 2000, but the 2000 was like the child destroyer.
Yeah.
That was the one that like physically damaged, like would leave welts and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd shoot you in the fucking face because he was a cunt. He was a stupid little shit.
Laramie got sued quite a bit.
It fucking hurt like fuck.
Laramie's fucking awesome.
Like at some point during water fights over at his place, like people would started to physically attack him to steal his gun because it hurt so much more than the others.
What a hero.
He's a little bitch, too. He's a weak little
baby. He had the best weapon.
Yeah.
It's
because his parents fought all the time.
Yeah.
And then there was that. And then there was those moments where it'd be like, you're over at Toys R Us, and it's like, do I buy a new Super Soaker or do I buy a Nerf gun?
That was a tough one.
I never bought Nerf guns.
You never got into Nerf?
No, well, no,
Nerf,
no one else had.
Nerf was widely applicable and not just for the summer.
No, of course, but when, like, none of my friends had it. It's like Ninja Turtles, Mutant Manhattan. If no one you know has it, it's no fun to play.
Retrieving the darts was a bummer, though.
Total bummer. Especially the ones that had the suction cups on it, and they would never stick properly to the fucking styrofoam.
Never
stuck. You would have, how long would that take? Like a week of messing around with it before they'd start to fall off?
Barely.
And you'd ask your dad for like industrial strength glue or some bullshit, and he's like, I'm not letting you play with this fucking thing. Ugh.
You get darts on your face.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Got to get that terror sweat.
No, there's no...
Couldn't you have just turned up the heat a little?
No.
There was no perfect solution, you know, as a kid. All these things all fucking...
That would have been a fucking great name for a Nerf gun, the final solution.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Send
all the kids into the Nerf chamber.
Just have all the balls hit them. Jeez.
Lastly, we got one coming in from Aaron. And Aaron wants to know...
Do you remember Nerf crotch bats?
No.
You just whack people in the dick.
That's not real.
Like a wiffle
ball bat? It's real. There's a commercial for it.
Yeah, well, there's a commercial for a lot of
things. What about that slime gun where the black kid gets all that cum shot on his chest? Did you guys have that, the cum blaster?
No, I didn't have the cum blaster.
Didn't buy that one.
Well, I did.
That one. Didn't buy that.
Like and the kid's like rubbing it into his nips.
Yeah, because it powers him.
And on a related note, our last one comes from Aaron, and he wants to know if you've ever seen a game commercial that convinced you to buy a game that wasn't worth it.
Oh, woof. Sonic 3D Blast. That game's terrible.
Convinced you to buy it?
Yeah. I was like fucking 9 years old or some shit. I forget how old I was.
The initial trailer, commercial, whatever, of Warrior Within, I was like, I don't like this. But they had one line. I was like, oh, that's a good line, though. Even though it was very edgy, it was like, I am the Prince of Persia and the King of Blades. And they sync it to him doing like a dumb breakdancing move with a sword, and he's decapitating them. And I go, okay, that's kind of cool. So I bought it, and then, yeah, Warrior Within isn't worth it. So that's the one that jumps to my mind.
It doesn't really count because it didn't happen to me at the time. It was like the Devil May Cry 2 commercial almost got me.
Wasn't that the one where it's like a kid playing in his room?
No. It was a white church, and Dante breaks through the glass and just does combos on the way down.
He just shoots, really. He just shoots.
And it was really cool.
Okay.
Don't type Nerf dick bat into fucking
crotch
Google.
Bats.
Crotch bat. Oh, crotch bat.
Your crotch bats.
I don't know if I've ever been suckered in by a commercial and then, like, unsatisfied.
Yeah.
I mean, mate, like...
Usually you got suckered in by a commercial and it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, or like, in the case of like Adventure Time, where it's like, I just thought it would have been okay, and then it wasn't. But, I don't know. I don't think it applies. Yeah, I got nothing. You?
And I'm really just Sonic 3D Blast is the only one that like stands out really hard. Just fuck, that game is terrible. I hate it.
Okay.
All right.
It's all right that you hate it. It's fine.
It sucks. Like you don't like. Don't even play that for a fucking Spin Dash Quick Look. It's fucking garbage.
No. Well. Just do that well.
Very
aware.
Yeah. Isometric.
So what's coming up?
There's a 3D. There's a arcade version of it that's actually quite good.
What's coming up? Overwatch.
Oh no, there's no Overwatch coming up on the channel, is there?
No, actually, I'm waiting for my big Catalyst box to arrive.
Catalyst, huh?
Yep.
Oh.
The big special edition that comes with no game.
Yeah.
What does that actually come with? A dumb messenger bag?
You get like the bookends of Faith and Kid Faith. You get an art book.
Wait, is this what's on the watch or is this what's coming up on the channel?
Yeah.
What's on the watch?
Overwatch.
And you get all this stuff and but there's no game.
Patch 3.3 hits in 14 hours, and I'm really excited for that. I'm super excited. For the past week, I've been on Discord with my raid buddies just yelling out, "Patch is coming! Whoa, there's a new patch!" I'm excited. That's what I'm excited for. And I'm playing Blood and Wine, too, which is really good.
Here, that's really good.
Yeah.
Buddy
told us.
If I run into a bug, I'm stopping because everything I've seen is that it's like the buggiest thing they've ever put out. Because it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, the lock-on disappears forever after a certain quest.
Wow. Fuck.
Like, And then at a certain late game quest, sometimes it comes back.
That's no good.
No, it's not.
I'm looking forward to not buying a game this week and instead just watching a full LP of it. Because Insomniac's Edge of Nowhere, a third-person game, is exclusively releasing on the Oculus for reasons no one can understand. And the reviews of it have been quite good. And all the reviews of it also say, there is no point in this being on the Oculus.
Sick.
So, great. It's a great game. That's it.
Sick.
So, I'll be watching a full LP of it because, like, there's still not a single VR game that I'm like, this is the one.
Yeah.
So, not gonna, can't play it.
Summer Lesson.
But it comes out today, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna be watching that. And yeah, I'll be playing fucking more Overwatch for sure. Yeah, that's it, I guess.
That's it.
Okay. And on the video side of things.
Okay, so we got Deus Ex. We'll be continuing to go on ups. We got,
I believe Dark Souls finishes this week.
Will be ending this Wednesday.
DS is wrapping.
And that, once again.
Star Fox starts this week, or did it already start?
Started. Already
spoilers.
Started. Already started.
Liam has been teasing a new LP, that me and Liam are doing, and he put a post up on Twitter that I then like sent him a message going, why you do this? Why you do that? And it was like, oh man, I've been waiting forever to play this new LP. It's really been torment. And I was like, why you got to do this? Because people are making all sorts of guesses and they're nowhere near it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
So there will be a new one coming.
Yeah.
But you're not saying what it is.
I'm not saying what it is, okay. But I'm saying that no one who I've seen like on the response to that Twitter post, no one was anywhere near it.
Okay.
Is also, that yes, I was about to say. Me and Wooly and Mega Hamster Dumps took a look at Salt and Sanctuary.
Can I just stop and say that we actually probably never said Super Bunny Hop on this?
It.
Okay. Okay.
Runny Gerbil Shits.
Okay. Runny Gerbil Shits is a good one. when we were in Atlanta.
He was on the podcast, Wooly.
Yeah, that's true.
That was like a year ago.
No, I just mean this entire episode.
Oh, no, yeah.
It hasn't come out once.
Who the fuck is Mega Hamster Farts?
While we were in Atlanta, he had us take a look at Salt and Sanctuary.
Salt and Sanctuary.
Wow, he's so into that. He's pushing really it on you guys.
I didn't know it had co-op.
Yeah,
I didn't know it had co-op.
It does.
It was specifically the co-op that he wanted.
Buddy,
make a bad game worse.
Gave us an idea about where an item was that would enable co-op, and then proceeded to forget where it was.
Nice.
So
that is the true Dark Souls experience.
A lot of meandering is cut out of said video, but it's still
good job,
it's
buddy.
Still a good time though. So
a lot of gallivanting.
Look forward to that. And yeah, I guess that's it.
Did the Boltons teach you that word, gallivanting?
God, that last episode.
I know, right?
It was super good.
Wait till the wrap up.
You guys, one more episode left, I believe.
Wait till the
you
wrap up.
You guys talking about Aragorn?
Yes.
Not really.
Dude, I found out some shit that's book only shit. It's fucking crazy.
Well, does it matter?
By no.
The books have been rendered non-canon.
Yeah.
there's some shit that's book only shit
fucking
that's out of this fucking
baffling.
World.
You nonsense.
Break your brain shit. Yeah, I guess that's it. Then.
We did it. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's finished. It.
Okay, bye, everybody. We did the podcast. Enjoy coming back next week and visit our YouTube channel and our website and all that.
I'll be visiting Overwatch porn.
I'll be what? No.
What? Yeah.
Which ones?
All of them.
But there are so many. Which ones?
The characters I like.
Yeah. Jim Sterling's
Junkrat.
Send links. Yeah.
Jim Sterling's fucking video on Overwatch porn, where he has that sequence where he's talking about
Roadhog.
About Roadhog is amazing. Just pounding it.
Pounding it.
I've been saying that all week.
Pounding it.
And he's done it before, mm-hmm. like that gag. But for some reason, with like the zoom in on Roadhog,
great.
It's so much better. Like Roadhog's thighs are really developed in a lot of those photos.
For some ways.
Oh,
wow. High definition tattoo on his gut.
817%.
Get in there.
So it's this everyday kid, right? It's Bam Black!
Oh!
Black is happening!
Yo!
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah!
Bam Black!
So what are we going to call our dude? Roy, do you have any suggestions?
I think the blackest game possible is the blackest man possible.
And who is that, Leo?
My brother's Canadian character, Ray.
Bam Black!
Go.
Bam! Bam Black! Bam Black!
Go.
What attack is this?
Bam Black!
Boom! Yeah.